about.
All right, everyone. It's time to do this. For Kevin.
For America. Let's go.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy.
Four, five, six.
B.I.G.
I don't think a gentleman should discuss his, you know, any of the personal items that go on with a woman.
Are boys dumb? Yes. Yes! Do they do disappointing, stupid things that really hurt your feelings? Yes.
Don't forget you could check out my thing on MySpace.
Yeah, Obama made that illegal. But I hear you, man.
This is making me extremely horny.
And I don't wish that girl any bad luck, but I hope she gets hit with a car.
Showing your vagina to your boss is not an okay thing to do.
I'm not gonna tell nobody, but that was uncool.
And now.
We're gonna be here a while. Would you like to talk?
I'd rather not.
Agreed.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is Tuesday morning, the 24th of May.
Relevant to nearly nothing.
Excellent.
What's the point of seeing a photo of a newborn baby? Don't they all look the same for reals? What's your takeaway when you see a brand new baby? Because it gives you no indication whatsoever what that child looks like. Because they don't look anything like that.
No, my takeaway is the people that I see that picture from, the people, I'm excited about the people.
Yeah, it's their announcement that they just brought this life into the world, Bean.
Right, but you get that announcement without seeing a picture of a, you know, a little squishy.
Does it bother you?
Maybe they should just post like a stick drawing and be like, hey, he's here.
No, it doesn't bother me at all, but I'm just saying... The natural inclination is, oh, I got to see a picture of this baby when you know already that the baby is going to look like every other baby in the world because they all look the same.
Well,
they don't all look
the same, though.
They really do.
Some have squished little prune faces. Mm-hmm. Some are not vaginal births. so they don't look as squished. They come out, their hair's done, wearing a monocle.
But it's no relation to what the child is going to look like, even in a month.
They're not trying to give you a picture of that baby's entire life. They're just saying, here's our entire...
You know the baby that we were going to have?
Here's Joe. He's on his way to college. Come on, Bean. It's just a baby.
I don't like it.
You're looking for too much in it.
I'm just looking for anything that matters, that means anything, that adds anything...
It's just a picture of...
That adds one drop of knowledge to your life. That's all. It's pretty worthless. A photo of a newborn is pretty worthless. That's the only thing I'm saying.
Babies.
No, I don't hate babies at all. I don't hate kids. I don't.
Always.
I don't care to be around them, and I don't want any of my own, but it doesn't mean I hate them. I wish them all well and healthy, happy, long lives.
But you don't even want to see a picture.
That's
nonsense.
You don't get anything out of that photo. That's what I'm saying.
What if I said, oh my God, my dog just had puppies? Would you be like, oh, let me see a picture?
Well, puppies are cute.
See?
Though. Puppies are super
so
cute.
Weird.
Wow.
So weird.
Hey, we didn't have time for this yesterday, but I feel like we need to play this tape. Allie, I know you saw the sportscaster throwing his hissy fit at KRON in San Francisco.
Yes.
Kevin, have you seen this?
I have not, and I'm excited about it.
Look, here's the thing. Let me pull back the curtain on professional radio and television broadcasts. Is oftentimes you're working with people, and you don't know what they're going to say. It's there's not a script. You don't know ahead of time what the topic's going to be, what the story's going to be, what the punchline's going to be. And occasionally, and I certainly have done this as much as anybody, occasionally you'll say something that the other guy or girl was planning on saying or talking about.
Right.
But it's kind of an ongoing, everybody's having a conversation, you just kind of wing it. You just kind of go with it. You know?
Give and take.
Give and take, exactly. You know, if I steal Kevin's punchline, he knows I'm not doing it on purpose. It's just I thought of it and I said.
I think you are doing it on purpose.
Well, I'm not.
Move on.
I'm not. And you feel bad when you do it, but you're doing a professional broadcast, and you just try to move on. So
define professional.
Here's a KRON TV, which is the big NBC affiliate in San Francisco, and Catherine Heenan is the news anchor there, and she has done the story, which was widely covered in the mainstream media beyond sports, about LeBron James getting the Space Jam sequel, right?
Right.
So she did that story, but it was right ahead of when she was throwing it to the sports guy, Gary Radnick, and he was going to do that story.
Mm.
So how do you think he reacted to that?
I'm going to guess by the fact that you're going to play some audio poorly.
like that tiny little baby whose picture we don't want to see. Exactly. Here he is.
Hunter Pence is the National League Player of the Week, and the Giants end up with a 9-6 win. We should tell you LeBron James is going to star in Space Jam.
Well, we actually... Oh, are you mad? Because I already read that. I'm sorry.
How's Steph Curry's knee?
He's nursing it, and it's getting better.
So what he's doing is he's throwing it to the news anchor, saying, all right, why don't I ask you about sports? Why don't you do sports since you did my sports?
If you have so much information about sports, I'm going to test you.
How's Steph Curry's knee? She comes right back, by the way, with an answer. I love that.
How long have we been friends? 23 years.
I didn't know you were going to do
it. Have you ever, and I'm going to say this with a smile, ever heard me say right before you came on, there's an irrigation problem in Gilroy?
You have to talk to Kasim.
You ever heard me say, oh, it's warm weather today? Never. I stay in my lane. And it's just to a friend to do that.
You got to talk to Kasim.
I like Kasim. Yeah. So don't try and pit me against the producer, Kasim.
Well, he gave me that lovely script.
And here's that. And it's hard for me to get mad. Catherine has stayed at my mother's home. She's written my mother notes and stolen my material. So how do I get mad? Anyway, how is Curry's knee?
So he's like to the weather person, hey, I don't talk about how warm it is, and I don't steal the news lady story. Why are you guys coming to me? And isn't this weird, by the way, that the anchor on the news that he works with is friends with his mom? Because this guy looks like he's 60, doesn't he, Allie?
Yeah, he's an older gentleman. I thought that when I watched it. I'm like, why is she hanging out with some 90-year-old lady?
Yeah, it's very strange. Gary's not done yet.
Improving.
Okay, well.
Hey, LeBron was very good in Trainwreck, so this will be fun. Okay, I shouldn't have brought it up.
Yeah, it's going to be great. And Michael Jordan starred in Space Jam, as you earlier reported.
I'm sorry.
All right. Darn it. Hard to be mad at Catherine, though. She's a good friend of my mom's, and there's going to come a time when you have to choose between the love of your mother and your mother's friends and the honor and dignity of Kron.
What?
I think he was kidding. With an undertone of, like, seriously.
Of super hate.
Stick to my script, you stick to your script type of thing. I think he was kidding. He just has a bad delivery.
I don't know. Look, I don't know if this is his defensive move after this blew up and became a thing, but he did put on the station's Facebook page, I think, that he was joking. He's like, wow, I must be a really good actor. All this feedback from people who thought I was mad. I was just playing.
Right.
But I wonder if that's the story that he came up with after people, like, called him out for being a dick to his coworker.
Yeah, there's some underlying passive-aggressive BS happening.
He did not roll with the punches in this case.
Mm-mm. How many times did he mention that that woman was a friend of his mom's? A
couple times,
that's odd.
Yeah, all of that too many times. All of it.
Once is too many.
Yes.
It's very weird. So good job, Mr. Radnick.
I love that. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bicho, shall we?
What's with all the questions, Regis?
Right?
Comedian Jim Norton in the studio today.
Right.
Very excited about that. We have Taylor Swift has become an icon for white supremacists.
Oh. That's unfortunate.
They have looked at her and said, she will be our queen.
That's not her fault.
Is it?
Or is it?
It's not her fault.
Right. Or?
Is it?
Is it?
Is it?
Is it Donald Trump's fault when white supremacists support him?
A little bit.
Okay. Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah, he earns it.
Yeah.
He earns that love. Why do people hate Joy? You know the Chewbacca woman?
I sure do.
With the mask? We're kind of split here. Some of us love it, and some of us think it's pathetic.
Yeah.
It's odd.
It's odd that anyone would think it's pathetic. You're right.
So we'll talk about that coming up today. Is your TV or your smartphone spying on you?
Yes, it is.
The answer is yes, it is. Yeah. Are we talking to Ashley today? No, we're not.
Yes. Ashley Skata.
Okay. Ashley Skata. Good. And we have a little report about a little TV show called The Bachelorette Report. Ralph Garman and Petros Papadakis. They will be here. That is coming up this morning on The Kevin and Bean Show. We will take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beatnik. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yeah, man, we be on the beach, man.
A little bit.
That's summer music little right bit. There, bitches.
Well, it's almost Memorial Day weekend.
Right?
Getting close.
How exciting is it when you're coming into work now, you see some daylight? Yes. You don't see the sun or anything, but you see
the skies are light and you can see the world. And it's like, wow, it's like I'm almost up in the morning instead of the nighttime when I'm usually up.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
It's very exciting.
Ralph, is this the first morning I've seen you walk into the studio without a jacket?
Yeah, probably amongst those.
Did somebody steal the leather jacket from you?
But look, you can't wear it all during the summertime. You have to, you have to put it.
Beg to differ.
We're turning the page here, man.
You have to put it up in the barn, you know, get it some hay and some oats and just let it, you know, put it out to stud.
Okay.
For the
summer.
See you in the
fall, right?
Exactly, yeah.
All right. Well, Ralph is here. It's time for our first look at the showbiz beat on a Tuesday morning Kevin and Bean show. What's new?
You know, people talk about your George Clooney's, your Leonardo DiCaprio's, fellas that are big movie stars and do good for the world. But does anybody come close to Angelina Jolie in terms of accomplishments?
Certainly not.
She's otherworldly.
Yeah. She seems to do a lot. And how does she do that with 17 children?
Right. She has 47 adopted children.
I don't think she has 83 kids.
Yes. 47 okay. Adopted, 73 naturally born.
Right.
She has well over 100 children. And she's got to wrangle that Pitt. He seems like a character, right? She's got to keep him in line.
Right.
But
trouble.
She's ambassador to the United Nations. And now it's just been announced she will be teaching a master's course on women, peace, and security at the London School of Economics next year.
Huh.
Same.
She's going to be a professor as well. Who lives a life? She's like Buckaroo Banzai. She does it all.
She does seem to have everything.
But does it all at the same time, too.
Mm-hmm.
You can't save the world and travel to Uganda and feed orphans.
You and I can't.
Raise your children and then direct movies and act in movies. What's happening with her?
And I feel like she works as little as possible. Like, she'll make a movie a year so that she can spend the other 10 months of the year doing this,
changing
which is
the world.
Her true passion.
She's a bitch.
I think that's the opposite of what I'm saying.
The opposite.
She's kind of remarkable.
Asshole.
Again, I think not. I think she's a good person. Anyway, I was just reading this lengthy article about her master's course that she'll be teaching. I'm just endlessly impressed by that woman.
You got a problem, lady. And
then she became the face and a spokesperson for breast cancer when she underwent her mastectomy and handled it with grace and style. It's just, she's kind of magical.
I had a friend who worked with her and said she's the nicest, most genuine person ever.
Oh, we don't need to hear that.
She's the exact... She's the exact opposite of Taylor Swift.
Well, that's unfair to say that.
But. I had a chance to interact with her just once at the Comic-Con in San Diego. I was moderating the panel for Salt. Remember that movie Salt?
I watched that movie five times.
I love that film, too. Because you keep forgetting what it's about. And you keep going, like, hey, this looks good. I'm going to watch this film.
She's a Russian spy? Okay, I'm in.
I'm going to watch this again someday. Hey, Salt's on. What's that about?
I do love that.
But it was her and Liev Schreiber, and the entire cast was there. And I never saw anything like it. They literally choppered her in.
That's pretty sweet.
And then they landed off-site, and then they just drove her up in a limo, and she hopped out. And she could not have been nicer to every single person backstage as we were getting ready to go out there. She introduced herself, and I was like, oh, I'm sorry, what was it?
What's your name again?
Angeline? Are you the one in the pink Corvette who drives around? But no, I was endlessly impressed, and so quite the lady. Anyway.
All right, but if we could, we have to find some flaw, some chink in her armor.
No,
that's the thing, we don't have
to. She's ugly, right?
Well, she's not attractive. That's
yeah!
Okay. Stop it, Dave.
Dave, how dare you?
Dave for a long time has said that she is not attractive.
Well, he's more wrong about that than anything else in the world. He's just dumb.
Hey, if you're in the music business, there's no money to be made in being in the record business anymore, right? You can't make money in the record business.
Doesn't seem like it.
Very few exceptions.
Who is that exception, Bean?
Adele.
Mother effing Dell. She has just cashed in to make the biggest recording deal in British music history. She's signing.
Adele Dazeem.
No, not Adele Dazeem. Oh. She's signing a new record deal. The UK's Daily Mail says Sony is prepared to offer her more than $130 million to sell.
to re-sign with Sony Pictures.
Wow.
Sony Music.
Good. You go, her. Girl.
Isn't that something?
Adele.
It's uncanny. It's like she's in the room with us.
Hello, I'm Adele.
Sunday Times of London says she's already worth more than $123 million. So this would roughly double her net worth with this one stroke of a pen.
I guess that'd be all right.
I mean, in a world where nobody sells records, let's recall that her album came out last fall and sold, what, 4 million copies in the first week or something, if I remember correctly.
She's the closest thing to a sure bet you can get when it comes to the record industry. So I guess it's worthwhile. She's going to make even more money this year. She's got a 105-date worldwide arena tour, which is already sold out. So good time to be Adele.
Yeah. Ali, I was wondering if you have a
didn't
Google
get
alert.
Tickets to any of the nights.
No,
yeah,
no,
I
know that, but I'm wondering if you have a Google alert to monitor how the prices are fluctuating right now to see if there's a chance to get in there and buy them on the secondary market.
Buy low, sell high, I say. See how the market is fluctuating.
I do not have that Google alert.
Google alert on Adele ticket fluctuations.
Is that what I do?
That's what Mr. and Mrs. America puts into Google to get their tickets.
I will do that now.
Good for you, young lady. And someday we hope you'll be able to vote.
Oh, you're talking crazy now, old-timey guy.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Tommy Chong is 78 years old today. Singer Bob Dylan is 75.
Whoa.
You right, Keanu?
No, it's just he's 75.
Yeah,
he has looked 75 for 15 years.
He is a good-looking fellow.
He just
isn't
has
he?
Not aged
he
well.
He looks like he looks like a lozenge that you have spit out, and it's rolled under your couch. And when you pull it out, it's got dog hair and fur
and gum
and rug fibers. And you just pull it and say, what the hell is that with that hairy, weird, shrunken thing? Oh, it's Bob Dylan. Happy birthday, Bob.
Yeah, the road has not been kind to Mr. Dylan.
No. Looks like he was lying down in the road, and a semi rolled over him. Other than that, happy birthday, Bob. Alfred Molina. Oh, Alfred Molina. Love him. Great actor. Where's the first time you ever saw Alfred Molina, Kevin?
Sinister. So when he was in Sinister. So good. So scary.
Interesting choice.
Is that a real answer?
I don't know if it's even a real movie.
Oh, okay.
I don't think if it was, Alfred Molina was in it. No, he was in Indiana Jones. Remember, he was the guide in the very beginning. Throw me the angel, I throw you the wheel.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes,
Alfred
yes.
Molina back in the day. John C. Reilly, 51 years old today, and rapper G-Eazy is 27. It used to be my name until he stole it. I used to be G-Eazy.
That's too bad.
Yeah. He's 27. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show of his beat.
So we all love Taylor Swift, right?
Not that That's much.
Here's the thing about Taylor Swift. We don't all love her. Bean loves her too much.
He loves her enough for all of us, which is fine with me because I'm not going to love her.
For the rest of us that either are mildly annoyed by her or couldn't care less about her, Bean sort of forces us into the we can't stand her category because he won't stop talking about how much he loves her.
I agree. She's the best. So all Taylor Swift has done is sell nearly 10 million copies of her latest album. She just completed one of the biggest worldwide stadium tours of all time.
You can be popular and sell a lot of albums and be terrible.
I'm not done yet.
Very
and
true.
And every year is on the list of the most charitable celebrities, literally giving millions of dollars away and building hospitals and visiting sick kids in the hospital, you know, that are sick with cancer or whatever.
And she being a Nazi idol.
Well, that's my point, is all the things that she does, yet somehow still she's on all these websites and blogs for being a Nazi idol. Like, this poor lady.
Poor lady, nothing.
The Daily Stormer comes out. It's a white supremacist blog, talking about what an Aryan goddess she is. There's a website called Taylor Swift for Fascist Europe that is among the most popular. I mean, it's just crazy that she has somehow been tied in with Nazism. Now, what do you guys suppose that about? Is it just because she's so super white? Is that what it is?
Probably.
She's just a small-town girl from Pennsylvania.
And I think there's a lot of Nazi in her.
I don't know where you're getting that from, though. What is she doing that's Nazi-like?
Here's an article that says it's also an established fact that Taylor Swift is secretly a Nazi and is simply waiting for the time when Donald Trump makes it safe for her to come out and announce her Aryan agenda to the world.
Oh, I didn't realize.
She's been a Nazi this whole time. Right. And he didn't know.
Right. I didn't realize it was a fact. I'm sorry. I didn't do the research.
It's a fact, this guy that's in the Nazi party says.
Well, we wanted to find out more about this and how tough this must be for other Taylor Swift fans like me. So we asked Dave if we could talk to the president of the Taylor Swift fan club. And believe it or not, he is on the line. Mr. Carl Schneider joins us on K-Rock right now. Mr. Schneider, thrilled to talk to you today, sir. How are you?
Yeah. Same here for you to also having been thrilled. Yeah, guten Morgen.
So you are the president of the Taylor Swift fan club.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, so we love Taylor Swift so much.
Uh-huh.
Where are you located?
I am located with the international club.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Uh-huh. I am currently in Dusseldorf.
Huh. Oh, in Germany. Okay.
Yeah, we're here in Germany. Yeah.
All right. So this article must hit pretty close to home. Must be very upsetting to you.
Oh, it's awful. We cannot believe they're saying these things about our sweet Taylor Swift.
Yeah. What are you supposed to say about?
I have no idea. It's so heartbreaking that a wonderful woman like Taylor Swift would be smeared with all of these horrible claims that she is a favorite of the Nazis, you know? It's just not right. She's done nothing to deserve this.
And what's the fan club doing? Are you somehow fighting back to restore her image?
Well, we figured it's best not to address these horrible rumors.
Okay.
And we're just trying to show the positive side of Taylor Swift.
Uh-huh.
And we will just continue to talk about how wonderful she is, how incredibly white she is.
Right.
Oh, that white skin. She's like a Viking goddess.
Right. Okay.
Have you seen her new blonde hair? It's so blonde now.
Right.
It is very blonde.
Very blonde and white, and her nose is so small.
Okay,
and so Gentile, it's amazing how good she's looking these days.
I'm very uncomfortable.
You're just describing her as incredibly white, like super Aryan.
Nine!
Oh.
We're just saying she's attractive. And her music is the most wonderful music. I first fell in love with her smash hit, Jew Belong With Me.
No, that was
Remember that one? That was so good.
No, it wasn't Jew, it was You Belong With Me.
Mixed Bad Blood, that was another big hit.
No.
It was just Bad Blood.
Just Bad Blood.
Yep.
Didn't have anything to do. No.
And New Jew of Trouble, remember
no.
that?
No, again. God. You misunderstood.
20 Jew, that was a big
just
hit.
Just 22, song about her age. Come on, Carl.
Shake It Kampf, remember that one?
Shake It what?
Shake It Kampf. That's my favorite.
It was off.
Tickets come and Black Space. Oh, Black Space.
Blank.
That made me so angry, that song she made with that one.
No, it was Blank. What's happening now, Carl?
Oh, we just have a gathering of the club. We're getting the fan club together.
It sounds like it's marching.
Marching,
Well, anyway, they got to get into the room somehow, don't they?
Yes, we're all uncomfortable with this.
We're very much in step with each other, that's all.
Oh, no.
And now our secretary will take the notes from the last meeting. What happened?
What time, Doc?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, this is just inappropriate, Carl.
Yeah. Zig Taylor!
All right.
We're
going to let you go.
Come.
Ellen McKay, how many views is Chewbacca Lady up to?
Please hold. 140 million just on Facebook alone.
Oh, my Lord. And how many of those are you, Allie?
Probably close to
123 million.
For folks who... I don't know how it's even possible. You wouldn't have heard of this lady. She's she lives in Dallas, Texas, and she's a married woman with a couple of children, or so she claims.
Cats.
And she spends...
You don't think she has children? She calls her cats children?
Oh, of course she does.
Two children.
She spends at least some of her time talking to herself and her imaginary internet friends in her car in a parking lot of a Kohl's, and she shot a video of her just becoming so amused over putting a Chewbacca mask that makes noise on her face. Let's hear a little bit of that original video.
I gotta take off my glasses for it. naturally. Okay, here we go. So, yes! Now watch when my mouth actually moves. That's that noise? It's the mask! Here, listen.
Okay.
Yeah, and it goes on for about an hour.
Right, she shrieks like that, like it's the funniest thing she's ever seen in her life. So since, all right, thank you very much, Candace. So since then, she's just become this this sensation. They flew her to New York for Good Morning America. She's in L.A. now. She did the Corden show last night. And this has got to be the peak moment of her life, I would imagine, right?
Well, she deserves it. I mean, look at what she's done. Look at what she's achieved. Let's heap more praise on her.
Ralph, you started talking.
You know
off
what she's
here.
Achieved? She's achieved joy, Ralph.
Has she?
And yes. Spreading joy, Ralph.
Is it joy?
It's joy.
If you laugh for an hour at a child's toy, are you joyful or is there something wrong?
Well, it's 2 minutes, and every time she would look at the screen, it would make her laugh. Seeing herself in the mask would make her laugh.
Yeah. If you're not high, this is not right. Something's wrong here with this woman. This isn't going to end well, people.
Why
this isn't going to end well.
Why?
Because there's trouble upstairs.
She's just truly happy.
She's truly deranged.
The fact that so many people saw this and for 2 minutes of their crap lives got a little bit of joy from this woman, that's enough.
Why do you hate
joy? She actually made people feel good for a little bit. Look, in this mixed up crazy world, she brought joy to people.
But if you jangle keys in front of an infant, they'll laugh for as long as you keep doing it. It doesn't make it a thing.
So keep doing it.
No.
If it brings joy, why not?
Because something bad's going to happen at the end of this.
This
will not end well.
I kind of agree with Ralph that I think there is
Course you do. You have no human connection. You don't understand how this could bring people joy.
Listen to Allie defending the lonely woman who lives in her car wearing a Star Wars toy. Listen to how passionate she is.
Has kids and a husband and brought joy to countless people, including people with depression, people with anxiety
That's why she did it. She's
her.
Out there to reach out to the depression community. She's
not
a lonely woman sitting in a parking lot wearing a toy.
No, she's a woman that wanted to do something online for her Facebook friends and family that had no idea that this would become so viral at a time when America needs a little bit of
She's a hero. She's an American hero.
By the way, okay, thank you, Candace.
This is worth every penny.
Okay.
She's a mental case. Listen to that. She's mental.
Feel free to give
us a
call right now if you want to join in on this conversation on either side, either Ralph's correct side or whatever nonsense
Allie
is doing.
I think if you honestly are annoyed by this or troubled by it, that speaks to you.
1-800-520-1067. Love to get you on the line. Look, it's not that I'm troubled by it. Well, I guess I am a little bit troubled,
troubled by it.
No, I'm troubled by it because I feel like she needs medication. I think she is walking around undiagnosed, and I think that we are lucky.
I think you're doing a disservice to people with depression.
What are you getting all of that from?
Because I watched the video.
So did we.
This is not a
normal. You don't know any backstory. You don't know her chemical.
Who cackles
makeup.
Like a lunatic?
Somebody
at
who's
that
truly
happy. It's not a normal
found
reaction.
Joy in something. People that actually, truly, from the purest part of their soul, found joy in
wow,
something.
You're taking this seriously.
You're taking it seriously, saying she's a mental case. I think you're doing a disservice to people with mental illness by saying that. She's joyful. She's bringing joy. See, Ralph just laughed. Ralph just laughed at that laugh.
How can you laugh at the insanity?
How can you not laugh at this?
And that's bringing you joy.
But, Allie.
I can't stop. Oh,
please stop.
Do you think it's worthy of that laughter? The mask, the toy that she's wearing?
Who am I to judge what she finds funny?
She put it on the internet. Let's judge
it. She put it on
Facebook. You're saying
she's
an American hero. You're judging her as an American hero.
I did not say she's an American hero.
Let's judge her then. She's got a plastic mask on her face, and she can't stop cackling like a person who's got a problem.
Or,
this is not going to air well.
Or somebody who's genuinely happy.
Well,
why is that not an option for you?
Because of the new song, Nick Mad. Did you hear the new song?
I did hear the new song.
About this woman?
Oh, no.
I think it's got a good point.
Okay.
Chewbacca woman, the internet's new star. Chewbacca woman, just sitting in your car. You perform some amazing task. No, you just laugh and wear a mask.
got more important things to do than watch you act like Peter Mayhew. Hey, woman, get away from me. Chewbacca woman, you're damaged mentally.
Why does she have to be damaged? Maybe she's just happy.
No well-adjusted person would sit alone in a parking lot laughing at themselves wearing a mask into a phone.
I don't think she planned to laugh that hard at it. It just tickled her. And then it became, you know when you get the church giggles and you just start laughing at something, then you can't stop?
Because you're around other people in church. Yeah. See something, say something. That's all I know. That's what, and I'm just doing my duty. That's all.
All right, let's go to Nick in Buena Park. Hi, Nick.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Good morning.
Good morning. Chewbacca mom.
Yeah, no, I'm with Allie on this one, man. Let me tell you, I was when I saw the video, my cheeks were hurting after a couple minutes because you could, like, really feel her joy, and it resonated. It was infectious. I loved it. I thought it was great.
It brought you a little bit of joy, and then you moved on with that joy, didn't you?
All right, absolutely, let me ask you this.
Allie,
let me ask you this.
Don't let them bring
Nick.
You down in there.
Oh, no one will bring me down in this rotten place of soulless humans.
Hey, I'm Nick. On your side. Does that not count?
No, you do count. Thank you.
No, you're a rotten soulless human.
Let me ask you.
You didn't
a
laugh at an internet video.
No, because you're angry at it.
I'm not angry at it. I'm just pointing out she's got some issues.
Yes, Bean, you want to ask Nick a question?
What pain do you think she's hiding?
What if she's not, though?
Because she clearly is.
You're just adding that to the story.
Possible.
You have no...
Oh, it's there.
You have no idea
the evidence
it's there.
Is there, Kevin.
Let's talk to
Open
Christian.
Open up your eyes.
Line 5, please. He's in Los Angeles. Let's see what he's got to say.
All right. Hi, Christian.
Hey there.
Christian.
Yeah, honestly, I just thought I was over the top. Once she started, I thought it was going to be a good video at first, but once she threw it on and had like this almost over-the-top excitement over it, and the laughing was just too much. Once she started laughing, I was out.
I was just the opposite. I was out until she started laughing, and then once she started laughing, I was like, this is so much happy. I love
Agree
it.
Agree to disagree.
Thank you, Christian.
All right, let's close.
His name is Christian. Christ is in his name.
It doesn't mean anything,
That's
Ralph.
What I'm saying.
Let's close the line one, please. I believe Janet in Long Beach, I think, is going to bring this home for us.
Hey, Janet.
Hi.
Hi there.
I think Ralph clearly has a crush on her.
Right?
You think?
He's just upset that he can't have her?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Ralph wants to get it in, and he's just upset that she's married with 2 children.
Cats.
2 kids. We've seen the video.
Kittens.
They're actual real children.
No, yeah, why else would he get that upset?
If I'm going to have sex with her, she better keep that mask on. That's all I'm saying. Then I'll be in.
Ralph, you are horrible.
It's a fantasy of Ralph's coming to life, coming to fruition, and it makes him nervous.
All right. Okay, Jen, we got the joke initially.
I hear you.
It started running a little thin.
All right. Look, no piece of video on the internet is complete until it's been songified. So here you go.
Hey, I went to Kohl's today.
So great, and I can't wait.
No shame. I bought this for my son. Let's be honest, I'll probably complicate it. However, when it's said and done, this is mine at the end of the day.
So we're all on board.
Yes.
Pure joy.
She's a
pure
chipmunk.
Joy. Pure joy. You love her.
Dear Kevin Amin, Randy writes in, so I'd seen the stills and the headlines about the Chewbacca mask video, but it looked too stupid to click on. But after listening to you guys just now discuss it, I thought I better form my own opinion, so I watched it. Was it as stupid as I thought it would be? Yes. Could I keep from laughing along with it? No. I think Allie and Kevin win on this one.
There you go.
That's what Randy says anyways. He's also a crazy madman.
Allie and I like joy.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Ralph and Bean, not so much.
Fear and sanity.
Busted. Guilty. As charged.
It's science.
Yeah. 9:43, time for a final look at the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday. What's going on?
Here's the thing, angry mob of joyful people.
is there such a thing possible?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, there is. You're allowed to enjoy it. Good. Have fun.
Have at it.
Good for you. Go watch again. It's okay. It's all right.
You should be happier.
Angry joy.
Why aren't you happy as I am?
Joy, asshole. Okay. All right. All right, joyful people.
You're so stupid that you don't love this the way I do.
Darf.
What?
What?
Darf.
Darf.
They're saying.
No one's saying that.
Oh, a lot of people.
I don't think anyone has ever said that.
A lot of darf.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:55.
The very funny comedian Jim Norton joins us in studio in the 8 o'clock hour this morning here on K-Rock. And don't forget, at 9 o'clock, your first chance of the day to win your tickets for the Life is Beautiful Festival in Las Vegas. Talking about Mumford & Sons and Major Lazer, Dirty Heads, The Shins, Jimmy Eat World, and so much more. 9 o'clock this morning, win your tickets and qualify for a grand prize trip to the festival, which includes hotel and airfare. All right, Tuesday morning, Ralph is here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning, boys and girls. It's great to be a star. Must be wonderful wherever you go. People know who you are and they love you and people recognize you and they give you things. Right?
Who are you talking about specifically?
Talk about Helen Hunt. Helen Hunt, star of As Good As It Gets, of course. Mad
Oscar
About
winner.
You, Oscar winner. She did that ABC After School special where she took PCP and jumped through a window. Love
that's
that
what
one.
She's best known for, I think.
Yeah, sure, that's what she's best known for. No, she was a child actor. She's been around forever. Everyone knows and loves her. That's why she made a point of posting the other day when she went to Starbucks. Kicked off her day for a cup of Joe at Starbucks like we do. And she said, "Do you need my name?" And the barista winked and said, "No, I don't know your name. I need your name. I know who you are." And then Helen went to pick up her coffee and saw that Jody was written on the side of her cup because the barista thought she was Jodie Foster.
Yay! Fail. Epic fail.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Maybe just volunteer your name next time. That's Helen. Just write Helen on the cup. Kris Jenner says she wants to change her name back to Kardashian.
Oh.
Was she disavowing Jenner ever existed?
Wow.
This is weird. Apparently, she's riding in the car with Khloe during the Keeping Up with Kardashian show, and she said that she wants to go back and use her, not original name, I don't know what her maiden name was, but her Kardashian name, saying, "If Bruce can change his name to Caitlyn, I think I'm good." She says very reasonably, "I was the original Kardashian."
I'm sorry?
Oh, my goodness.
I'm sorry, what?
She wants to be her daughter so badly. And can you believe it's been a year since Mad Men went off the air?
I still miss it.
I do, too.
Same.
You've never
crushing
seen it,
crushing depression.
Kevin, I believe you saw the first episode of the first season.
I saw half of that.
Half of the pilot episode. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you enjoy that?
Yes, very much so. I'm really distraught over this story.
Well, then this is just for you. This is just so you don't have to mourn any longer.
What was it about that first episode, Kevin, that you couldn't stick with it for a full hour?
Like I remember.
Okay. Because don't you remember, Ralph, that you watched it and it blew you away how brilliant it was?
Yeah. It was one of those shows, like Veep is for me now. I get antsy about midweek, can't waiting for the next episode. I start to jones for it.
And what show are we talking about? I'm sorry.
We're talking about a show called Mad Men.
Mm, Mad Men.
It was on AMC for, I don't know, what, seven seasons?
Eight I think
seasons?
So, yeah.
Anyway, for those of us who miss it, like Kevin.
Right.
You'll be happy to know an organization called ScreenBid.com to celebrate the one-year anniversary of the series finale is putting up an auction of 1,500 props, costumes, and memorabilia from the hit show, so you can own a little piece of Mad Men.
Wow.
You can have it for you. How about Don Draper's wallet with his license in it and everything? How about cool would that be?
That's pretty cool.
I would use it. I'd go around. I'd go to Starbucks. I'd whip it. I'd try to pay with Don Draper's credit card. No, I'm sorry. They're not taking this card. Oh, I'm sorry. I must have left this back at the office at Sterling Cooper, I would say, pretending to be him.
And then they would say, where?
Then they throw a net over me and drag me out. Joan Harris's ice bucket and tumbler set.
Oh,
right.
What we're calling it?
I'd like to get the Joan Harris's ice bucket.
Ralph, didn't they used to just, back in the day, when a TV show wrapped, they would just send the stuff back to the prop closet for another show, right?
Right. A little closet. They would keep all the props in Hollywood.
No, but I'm just
like
saying.
Like a clown car. Way too much. You can just start pulling
they
stuff
open
out.
It up and everything come falling out on you. It was so funny every time.
This
they
is would. A fairly new thing where they sell off parts of a show, right?
It used to be they would go into a warehouse or would be destroyed usually. But now with, you know, collectibles being a thing, they can make money for charity this way, and so they do it. One of the props, by the way, also is Don Draper's bar cart that he had in his office with all the booze on it and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Those are the days you could drink at work. I mean,
for me, these days are now when I can drink at work. But for the rest of you, you're missing out. So it's
how about his suits, by the way? Is he selling those?
I don't know. I only got a couple things listed here about what's up for auction. But why don't you go over to ScreenBid.
What about his socks? Do you think he's selling his socks?
ScreenBid.com. And you can look through the entire catalog of things that are available for you to bid on in this auction that starts on June 1st.
I like it.
Today's celebrity birthdays. G-Eazy is 27 years old today. John C. Reilly, one of my favorites. Steve Brule? Is that Dr. Steve Brule that he does? Have you watched those videos online?
I don't think I
have. Kevin, you would love them.
No, I love him, though.
Yeah, 51 years old today. Alfred Molina, 63. Bob Dylan is 75 years old today. We don't have time. Bob Dylan's got a new album out, which is all Frank Sinatra covers.
Because when you think of Frank Sinatra's voice, you think Bob Dylan. Because
they both have the same instrument. They're both melodic.
Uh-huh.
Bob Dylan plays his throat like a clarinet. Again, I don't know what that
or
means.
A leaf blower.
He's 75. We don't have time. Next hour, I'll play you some new Bob Dylan music. And Tommy Chong is 78 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beats.
Welcome into the Kevin DeBean Show here on a Tuesday morning. I am so grateful that I am not a sleepwalker. The stories I see in the news about people who sleepwalk terrify me.
Yeah.
Terrify me. You know, there was a guy, we probably talked about it last year when it happened. There was a guy who killed a dude, and his defense was, I was sleepwalking. I have no recollection of this whatsoever. And the doctors were able to convince a jury that that was the case. He didn't even know he had done it. And he was acquitted.
That sounds bogus.
I do wonder how many people do crazy things and then just make up that they're sleepwalking.
I was sleeping. Yeah.
There are lots of people, though, and we've done this phone topic before in the past where we have people call in, and we'd like you to do that right now at 1-800-520-1067 of the things that they found out after the fact that they had been doing while they were sleeping, or you woke up in the middle of sleepwalking. Like, what's the story in the news that's brought it back to our attention?
It's out of Manchester, England, 4 a.m. on Sunday. A guy walks out of his hotel completely naked.
Oh.
Walks out to the curb, starts walking around the center square, and then decides he wants to hail a cab. And a cop saw this and was like, well, there's a naked guy trying to hail a cab. So they went over, and they determined, it says in the article, they determined that it was not a prank and that this guy was not lying, that he was literally asleep.
I wonder where he was going.
Who knows?
That's what I want to know.
Let him get in a cab, at least, and tail him.
Follow him.
Allie, you always talk about how you don't want to ever sleep naked because you're afraid in the event of an earthquake that you might have to get outside fast. Mm-hmm. I guess same deal with this guy. Maybe he should have gone to bed with some pajamas on. Would have been a little better for him if he sleepwalks.
And I wonder if this is the first time that it happened to him, because I assume stuff like this happens to people, the same people a lot, right?
And I think people that take sleep-inducing drugs, a lot of people, they don't know how they're going to react to it. This could be kind of common, which is terrifying.
I think as a result of the popularity of Ambien in recent years, that there are probably more sleepwalkers than ever before.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely. Ambien is one of those things that you might be fine with, but you might also do crazy stuff. That's where I got the strawberry ice cream incident.
Wow.
That was Ambien.
Interesting.
That was the last... They played at the Trube last night. That was the last time I took Ambien. I was like, wow.
I love Ambien, by the way.
It's great.
It's great.
But what are you doing
so
in your
sleep? Soundly. We'll take your calls on sleepwalking at 1-800-520-1067. Here's an Ambien story from a lady named Stacy. I was on Ambien for about 2 years. After a couple months, I started realizing I was doing weird stuff after I took it that I didn't remember. Nothing serious that I knew of, but I would wake up with food all over my bed, or there would be posts that I made online that I had no recollection of. I didn't think it was that big a deal, so I stayed on it. One night during the end of my time on Ambien, I woke up in my car. I was in my pajamas, driving, and crying. I knew where I was, but I had no idea how I got there. I didn't know why I was crying either. I just pulled into a parking lot and waited till I was done crying for no apparent reason, and then I just drove back home. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning. Can you imagine the panic of waking up from a sound sleep and you are behind the wheel operating a motor vehicle?
Oh, my God.
That's easily kill somebody that way.
Oh, yes, yes.
That's
easily.
Crazy.
All right, let's take some sleepwalker stories at 1-800-520-1067. This should be a lot of fun because it happened to you and not me. Let's try with Brian first up on line one in Irvine.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, good morning.
Hi there. You a sleepwalker?
I'm a sleepwalker. I haven't done it for years, but I've had sleepwalking. I've had sleep paralysis too, but I had a kind of funny sleepwalking story when I was a kid. My parents had a lot of friends over. They were all having dinner.
I went to bed. I was probably 5, 6 years old. I walked out, and just in front of everybody, they could tell I was sleepwalking, so no one woke me up. And I just said, "Hey, Mom, I have to go to the bathroom." And I proceeded to take it out and urinate in front of everybody.
In front of all your friends?
At a dinner party?
In front of everybody.
Brian, do you know what causes sleepwalking? Why do some people have it? Did you ever find out?
I don't know. I never looked into it too much. It kind of happened a lot when I was a kid. You know, there was other times I'd wake up and change the thermostat because I was hot. And my dad would just see me in the hallway and he goes, "Oh, Brian's sleepwalking again." And just kind of leave me alone.
I like how your family just doesn't care.
Right?
Hey, don't wake him. This is part
Brian.
Of this is part of his sleep.
They were pretty lackadaisy, but yeah.
Did it just go away on its own?
It just kind of, yeah, it went away on its own. And I haven't done it. You know, I lived alone for years, so who knows if I was doing it. I never noticed anything weird.
Sure.
But it definitely happened a lot when I was a kid.
That's interesting. All right. Thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate that. 1-800-520-1067. Let's try Nicole, line 5, please. She is in Santa Monica.
Hey, Nicole.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning. You're a sleepwalker?
I'm a total sleepwalker. And when I was a kid, I had to be hospitalized because I had cancer. And so my mom stayed in the hospital with me all night long, and the night nurse came in to give me my meds, and I wasn't there. And she had to wake my mom up and say, "Where's Nicole?" And they had no idea where I was. It turns out I got up with my IV, everything hooked into me, and rolled it down with me to the public restroom on the east wing of the children's unit at UCLA.
Wow, that's so weird. I assume you had a restroom in your room.
I had a restroom in my room.
Wow.
Is sleepwalking, is sleepwalking way more common with little kids than it is with adults?
I think it is, actually, but my mom was one of those Ambien stories and has a really scary story. Thank God I was up one night when I saw her about to get in her car with the car keys and everything, and I was like, "Where are you going?"
And she said, "I don't know.
I don't know. Don't ask me. I'm asleep."
Yeah. No, she was telling me, "Oh, I have to run some errands." Like, she was totally just in her own world.
That is crazy. All right, Nicole. Hey, glad you're okay. Thanks so much for the call. We appreciate
it. Thank you.
Let's go to Long Beach. Line 4, this is going to be Robert. If you're going to be asleep, you might as well have fun doing it. Right, Robert? Hey, Robert.
Hey, guys. How are you doing? I think it's just muscle memory. You know, you're good at things that you do well.
Oh, take it easy.
So, yeah, it's happened to me at least, you know, 3-4 times a year where I'll just be sleeping, and all of a sudden I'll wake up in the middle of, doing the horizontal mambo and be like, and my wife is loving it, and I'm like, "Hey, oh, hey, how are you?"
Oh, no!
So you started having sex with your wife and were still asleep.
Yes, and it happens regularly where she now sort of kind of understands it happens and just accepts it and
takes advantage of it.
How does she feel about you at your age still calling it the horizontal mambo?
Well, I know how to dance. That's all I'm going to say.
All right, Robert. Thanks for the call. Let's take a break. Let's take some more calls, by the way. I am fascinated by the things that people do when they are sound asleep.
And it sounds like none of them have tried to figure out why or how
Robert
they can stop
digs
it.
Robert right. digs so it. Into it.
If you're a sleepwalker, call us now. 1-800-520-1067. Your call's next on KIPP. Dear Kevin and Bean, Sarah writes in, "I have terrible sleepwalking incidents. It's so bad that my husband and I have to sleep in separate beds. I probably have issues either walking, eating, talking, or other antics about 20 days out of every month."
Wow.
So this is not like a once-a-year thing for her. This is most nights she sleepwalks. "My go-to place to hide things is in my freezer. If I wake up and I can't find my cell phone or something, I know to check the freezer. And by the way, the amount of food I have eaten is unbelievable. Ever so often, sexy Sarah comes around and pleasures my husband. They are special treats for him. That happens about once a month, and I never wake up."
Loves when sexy Sarah comes around.
He's not going to wake her up.
Sarah sounds like a party, huh? I mean, the human brain is so fascinating anyway, but we're talking about sleepwalking here this morning. Like, why do some people get it and most people don't? What causes it? And is there anything that can be done to stop you if you are sleepwalking? I mean, literally, I bet there are some people who have to just handcuff themselves to the bed so they don't end up going out into traffic or something, I would think, right?
If that's what they do, they walk out the door.
Let's take some calls at 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with Stephanie in Burbank, please. She's on line 4 to get us going for this round.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. Thank you. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You sleepwalk?
Yes, I do. Actually, I do more the Paranormal Activity thing, where I'll stand above you and hover and stare at you for hours.
Oh, that's scary. To who? Do you have a husband, boyfriend?
Yes, I have a husband. We've been together 28 years, and when he first spent the night with me, I went to bed wearing one outfit. I came out. He was sleeping on the couch, and I had a black shroud over my head, and I was staring at him.
That is a straight deal breaker right there.
How did you get a second date with this guy?
Well, how did he end up marrying me?
Yes.
That's a great question.
We have a lot of questions about your husband.
All right, well, Stephanie.
If he acknowledges me, I will, like, get on my knees and just put my face closer to him and just stare.
This is terrifying.
Wow. This is terrifying. All right. You're creeping us out. Get off the phone. Seriously, hang up right now. Let's try Kelly, please. She's on line two. She's in Los Angeles. Up next on the Kevin Bean Show.
Hey, Kelly.
Hi. How are you guys doing today?
We're good.
Freaked out. That's how we are.
All right. Well, here's a little more freakiness for you.
All right.
You know, I do your standard talking and sleep and crazy, you know, antics when I wake up, well, when I don't wake up. But I woke up one time. My boyfriend is a sleepwalker. And does some extreme activities, and, you know, they're funny and comical, but he often acts out his dreams. And I woke up one time to his hands around my neck, and he was giving me what I can only refer to as reverse CPR, and instead of blowing into my mouth, he was sucking out of my mouth.
Holy crap.
Oh, yeah. It quickly escalated to, you know, it's somewhat enjoyable yet terrifying sex for me.
Are you positive he was asleep?
I am positive he was asleep.
Okay.
Kelly, so forgive me if this is a dumb question, but when somebody's in a trance or whatever it is like that, when he's sleepwalking, is it more difficult to wake him up than it would be if he was just normal sleeping in a bed?
No, usually when I try to wake him up or engage in a conversation with him, it just makes him angry. Because he's, like, vaguely aware that he's asleep, but he's more aware that I'm bothering him and what he's doing.
But he's not finished choking you yet?
Oh, my God. Oh, no. Yeah,
that is amazing.
That was an isolated incident. And he, you know, he came back to bed a little bit later, and I was like, well, what was that about? And he's just sat there with a blank look. I have no idea what just happened.
Good times. Right. It's a miracle any of us survived the night. Thank you, Kelly. Appreciate that. Let's try Victorville. This is going to be Andrew. He's on line five.
All right. Andrew, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi. Good morning, guys.
So what happened sleepwalked?
It was about 2 years ago. I went on a church retreat, and they had a whole table full of candies for little kids. And it was really late at night. So everybody just ended up going to bed. We were like, we'll just clean it up in the morning. Well, I ended up waking up like 3-4 in the morning on that table. It was broken in half. I was on the floor, and there's just candy wrappers everywhere, chocolate all over my face, but nobody was around.
That wasn't chocolate.
Don't make it worse than it is. It was chocolate. How much candy do you think you ate?
It was maybe 50, 60 pieces. I ended up just trying to sneak back to my room, and I ended up trying to sleep it off. And the next morning, everybody was standing around the table like, raccoons must have got in.
Oh. You're like, I can't believe those damn raccoons.
Thank you for the call. We really appreciate it. Let's do one more, and let's make it Diamond Bar Line 7. This is going to be Jessen.
All right. Hi, Jessen.
Yo, what's up?
Talking sleepwalking. You do it?
Hell yeah.
Okay, take it easy. What's the most extreme thing you've done?
The most memorable thing, probably, this was in college. I woke up in the bathroom with a pair of tweezers in my hand. And I was, I woke up in the middle of plucking one of my pubes. And, at that point... Sorry?
How many had you already plucked?
Let's just say there was only 1% left.
Does the pain of that not wake you up?
Watch your language, Justin.
Right, you walked into your room.
Sorry. I walk into my room, and then I open my door, and I literally see sticky notes that I had just bought to study for my finals exam.
Mm-hmm.
And they were posted all over the room, not even with writing on them.
Just your pubes?
Just Post-it. Just
one pube.
Just plain Post-it.
Per Post-it?
Post-it. No, like, no, hundreds of them. Like my,
well,
it's just covered.
Well, Justin?
Yeah.
Shaved. Nice.
Minutes away from the first Bachelorette report of the new season. Very excited, by the way, especially now that we got money in the game, Kevin.
Yep.
I didn't watch last night, so I'm looking forward to Ralph and the old P, Petros Papadakis, catching us up with what happened on the premiere of The Bachelorette last night. First, though, there have been a number of stories that have caught our attention recently that make us think that Big Brother is here. This is not the future anymore. This is here. We are being watched all the time. And the one that really put me over the top is I saw a story for Reels in the Los Angeles Times about people who are being videotaped, recorded by their smart TVs. You're sitting in your living room or you're watching TV in bed and somebody has hacked into your Samsung or whatever and they are able to record you in your room watching. And
That's good.
No. Disturbing, right?
Yeah.
So that and a couple of other things that are involving electronics are in the news, and that made us think of our friend Ashley Escada, who joins us on the phone from CNET.com right now, the host of TomorrowDaily.com. Hey, how are you, Ashley? What's going on?
I'm good. How are you guys? The music's a little overdramatic.
It's too dramatic? Did you
I don't think it is true. If this story is true in the Times that you can be recorded through your TV in your own living room or bedroom, that music is not too dramatic, Ashley. So is it true? Can this be done? Is this happening?
Here's sort of the – this might actually even be scarier. There are websites out there. We've heard about, like, for example, baby monitors getting hacked, right?
Right. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So similar type of thing. And there are actually websites out there on the dark web, the deep web, where you're able to it's just a list of IP addresses, and you can click on them, and they're just cameras, like video cameras or monitors or in people's houses.
Okay, so my laptop that has that little camera right in the middle of the top of the screen, somebody can watch me and see what I'm doing?
Well, it depends on, it's not at any time. Like, a lot of these people have compromised computers, or they might have very weak security on their Wi-Fi. So, for example, when you sign up for your internet service, you get your router, and a lot of times the router's password is password.
Right.
So, and most people don't change that. And it's not the Wi-Fi password you get on the sticker on the box. It's actually the admin password to access the router settings. And so a lot of people don't know to change that. And so what happens is it's not even really a case of hacking per se. It's just someone can guess that password because, you know, on the internet, you can find all of the default passwords for all of these, you know, products that you're using to connect to the internet with. And so if you have not changed that password, it becomes very easy to make that happen.
All right. So that's the same thing with TVs that it is with computers?
I would imagine so. I know that there's a lot of privacy concerns about things that are always listening. I know Samsung smart TVs had a little bit of clumsy language inside their user agreement where they said, you know, if you are talking, sensitive conversations and things might get transmitted and shared with third parties. And then they had to clarify that it wasn't that your sensitive conversations were being sent to advertisers. It was actually the third party they used to figure out how to use your smart TV with your voice. So it's,
I don't really care who it is.
It's just someone. That's bad.
It's somebody, right?
So most of the time, the thing you have to remember is we have been giving our data to the internet. You know, if you think of it, it's just sort of a place that you're sending your data to. We've been doing that for a really long time via Google and via any search engine. We've been giving, and I would argue, in some respects, we give more information to search engines because it's a lot more private. So you're not going to walk around in your house and ask Alexa, what's good on RedTube, right? Like, you probably aren't going to do that.
Right.
But you would do that on your browser, and that gets kept unless you're using an incognito browser. So two of the things that you have to remember with technology like this is, one, it is created not to spy on us, but to make our lives more convenient.
But there is a trade there, and we have to be aware of what companies' policies are with regards to what they do with that information.
Two other specific questions about companies. One is Spotify just had to come out and apologize because they somehow gained access on your smartphone to all of your photos and other information.
Why do they need that?
Is that true?
That is true. And the photo thing, I believe, was because if you wanted to change your album art, it would need access to your photo album.
So I would have to give it permission before it could do that?
Right. It would say, well, so in a lot of times on Android, when you install the app, it gives you the full list of permissions that it's accessing. You can see before you install the app, and then you agree to it when you install the app. Mm-hmm. And then on iPhone, if you notice, when you pull up for the first time, it'll say Spotify would like access to your photos, and you can say yes or no. Like a lot of times, that's the case.
Right,
sometimes,
right.
Though, they build that into the app, and it's just like it has access to certain things. But usually, with iPhones, iOS, it asks for permission, and you have to say yes or no, and then you can turn it on or back on or off again in settings.
All right, here's one other company, and that's Uber. And so the recent thing that I read was that Uber can tell if your phone is dying, and if your phone is dying, you'll pay surge charges, so they'll charge you more. Is that true?
It's not that they charge you more, but they do have a wealth of data about you, just like every company that you are giving your information to on a regular basis.
But I'm not giving them information on how
they can spot that you've gone into power-saving mode, and then they charge you surge prices knowing that you've got to get in a cab before your phone dies. So
right,
that is charging you more. That's tricking you into paying more because they have information that you need it.
They're not specifically saying you have less than 5% battery, so our surge pricing goes up for you. It's just that they have seen because they have access to so much data, they've seen that people with a really low battery life are much more inclined to accept surge pricing. Now, what they do with that we'll have to see what they end up doing with that, but right now there's no indications that they are specifically targeting people with low battery life with higher surge prices.
Oh, so Uber got to you, Ashley. That's what's happening
right?
here?
You get free rides from Uber, Ashley.
God, you guys got to get that sweet Uber money. Are
we just naive? Because you sound like this is nothing.
Well, I think that two things. So like with Alexa or Amazon Echo, you're able to, with a lot of these companies, decide how they keep your information. So with Amazon Echo, for example, you're able to log in and you can delete any voice query that you've ever made to the device. And you can actually shut off the automatic listening feature. In most things that are sort of kind of quote unquote always listening, really they're listening for a trigger word. So okay, Google or hey Siri or, you know, because if it was always listening or if it was always watching you, that amount of data would be insane. It would be a crazy amount of data for any company to store, and most of it is worthless information, you know? It's like me and my husband.
Most of it is, hey, did you feed the dog?
Right, exactly. And so the thing is they don't want that information. They don't care about that information. What they care about is, you know, when you use their product, like, are you shopping for baby diapers? Okay, on Amazon, you tell Alexa, hey, Alexa, please add diapers to our shopping list. And then it says, oh, well, you must have a baby. And so then when you start, when you log into Amazon, maybe it gives you some recommendations. And it says, just like you would if you logged into Amazon on a website, the same type of thing. So, I would say that the technology where something is always listening is not, we're not quite there yet. So it's not so much to be terrified of, but you always should be sure to look up what a company is doing with your data, especially if they're using it, if they're recording your voice at any point. There is a big battle for privacy. And I believe, for me, that the 21st century, the biggest battle in technology is our privacy. This is going to be a really big issue. And we've seen so much about in the last year, encryption. Mm-hmm. And, making sure your passwords are protected with two-factor authentication if possible. It's just basically, you have to protect yourself, and you have to, you know, these companies are not going to willingly give you that information in a clear, understandable way. It's all a bunch of legal speak inside a 45-page document that you're immediately saying yes to because who has time to read all that?
Yeah, no one wants to read that, exactly.
Nobody wants to read that. And so you just have to make sure that you understand
the company that you're giving that data to and what exactly they want to do with it, and how you, as a customer, can get rid of that information or ask them to remove it from their servers if you so chose.
And how would I find that out without reading that 45 pages?
A lot of times there's information in databases or the knowledge base on a lot of companies' websites. So there's a huge frequently asked questions about Alexa, and it actually explains exactly how to go into your account, where to go, how to delete all of your voice questions that you've asked Alexa. And also it does explain how you can shut off Amazon Echo so that it is not always listening and it's activated by a button. But, you know, if you remember that it's always, you know, if you pay Alexa, and then sometimes you can even set it up to have it make a tone when it starts recording. So you know exactly when it starts and stops.
All right.
Usually there's instructions.
We're almost out of time here. Ashley Escada on the phone, senior editor of CNET, host of Tomorrow Daily. Here's the question I have for you that kind of takes it right back to the beginning with what we were talking about with the smart TVs watching you. Allie puts a piece of tape over the little camera in her laptop. Is that being paranoid, or is that pretty smart based on the conversation we've just had, Ashley?
I think that if you really don't trust your own instincts on clicking on attachments and not kind of being sort of a safe internet navigator, if you're going to some less than scrupulous sites, I would say that is probably a decent idea.
Okay. All I had Beans to read up. Was one article on some man that was getting video of all these college girls and then going back, emailing them and saying, I have video of you naked, pay me, blah, blah, blah. So easy for some D-bag to get all of that just logging into all these girls' computers.
Wait, you're telling me it's easy to do that?
And Bean's upset because you put the tape there because now Bean has no
that tape is
income.
Staying. That tape is staying.
All right, Ashley. We appreciate you jumping on with us. As always, you are a delight, my dear. Thanks for talking to us.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Thanks, Ashley.
Bye-bye.
It is 7:52.
Bachelorette Report. You guys coming up just after 8 with Ralph and P. Come on. We're all excited, right?
Yes. I'm stunned at your 180. Because it used to be when I came in here and talked Bachelor, like, oh, really? You're watching that show? I can't believe it. And now you're like, woohoo!
Well, you told us, you opened our eyes to the craziness that is this show.
It's yes.
Magic.
We've been really missing out. So we were
wrong. You may be on for the wrong reasons, though. That's what my theory is. You may not be on this journey to find true love.
I think
you may be here for just the fame and the fortune. And I'm going to tell JoJo about it, and I think she should not give you a rose.
Well, I can't wait to hear all about last night's premiere with the P joining you. But first, how about a look at the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday morning, Kevin DeBee Show.
You know, we did our Bachelorette fantasy draft yesterday.
Yes.
Where we all picked our front runners, hoping to go all the way, distance.
Anybody get knocked out?
Yeah. One of us has already gone.
Wow.
As of last night.
Ha! Okay.
We'll talk more about that at the top of the hour. But meanwhile, I mentioned, I don't know, a little while ago in the showbiz beat, that Adele was about to sign the biggest record deal in British music history. Sony is prepared to offer her to sign a new contract, $130 million. Now, the Sunday Times of London says she's already worth $123 million, so basically she will be doubling her net worth with the swipe of a pen.
I guess that'd be all right.
You would be. Prior to this, Robbie Williams was the biggest earner via record deal in British music history. He got, in 2002 from EMI, he got $116 million. That was the most that was ever offered a British artist by a British record label at the time. So she dwarfs that. But I thought it was interesting. I found a list of the top 10 record deals of all time.
Now this includes record companies used to make these deals all the time. They just don't anymore.
Right. I mean, these days are over. We were talking about what an anomaly it was that Adele was going to make this much money on a record deal because there's no money in selling records anymore.
Right.
So she is the rare exception of someone who can actually sell records just in the sheer power of her fame and her fan support. So this was seemed to be a reasonable investment on behalf of Sony. But these other deals were made, you know, years ago, obviously. But
Michael Jackson,
number one. His deal with Sony in 2010, by the way, which is fairly recent, paid him $237 million.
Wow.
And he wasn't selling any records in 2010.
No,
was
he wasn't. That's crazy.
But I guess they figured he had a lot of good work left.
Wow.
He must have died not long after that, right?
That's what I'm thinking. How long has it been now?
I thought it had been at least 5 years.
Number two is Big Bad Voodoo Daddy.
No, actually, they did not crack the top five, Kevin. Well, but
that's disappointing.
U2, in 1993, Polydor gave them $188 million. Then Jay-Z, in 2008, earned $137 million with his record deal. Robbie Williams, as we mentioned, that British deal was number four. And then Springsteen signed with Columbia in 2005 for $108 million.
Anyway, what happened to Tom Petty?
Petty did not make the top 10, even, surprisingly. The rest of the top 10, Whitney Houston, Madonna, R.E.M., Mariah Carey, and Elton John are the top 10 record deals of all time.
The Riddler?
The Riddler did not...
It's a good guess.
Sad. You know, he had a lot of success internationally, but not so much in America. Johnny Asshole. Now, since he left his band, I don't think he's been the same artist.
Dweezil Zappa.
Justin Bieber performed on the Billboard Music Awards on Sunday night, took home Billboard Music Awards as well, two of them. And then immediately after, wrote a long post about why he hates award shows.
He's magic.
He really is.
Why would he do that?
Because he's
if he hates him, why would he do that?
Because he's a tremendous ass. Here's some of what he wrote. When I'm doing a regular show, I feel they are there for the right reasons. No, he's like The Bachelor.
Is this The Bachelor?
But these award shows seem so hollow. I get the premise is to award people for their accomplishments, but is it really? Because when I look in the audience, I see a bunch of fake smiles, so that when the camera hits them, they look happy. Well, that'll match the fake singing you're doing, Justin, as you lip sync to your songs.
They're just not happy for him.
That's what confused me, Ralph, is how do you go on and lip sync on a show and then immediately after complain about how fake it is?
Right!
I can't understand that.
If there only was some way he could say, no, I'm not going to perform on your award show because I think they're fake. But alas, you know, he's an indentured servitude.
That's true.
That's right. Yeah. He is being forced there, under gunpoint.
It's part of his Canadian release. He's on a work release program out of Canada.
I'm sorry for the realness.
I am privileged and honored to be recognized by my peers, but in these settings, I can't feel the recognition. There's an authenticity missing that I crave.
Shut up.
He craves authenticity.
Come on.
Kevin, you don't know, man.
He needs to shut the F up.
How is he not feeling the recognition when he's literally on a show getting an award? Isn't that the definition of recognition?
Because what about the fake smiles, Bean?
Okay. He must have wanted to win awards that he didn't.
Yeah.
That had to be
maybe.
What it was.
I can't understand it, but I
just
thought that
very
was,
confusing.
It was odd and yet so
delicious.
So encouraging.
I almost missed the Bieber when he was just crazy stealing monkeys.
Or peeing in buckets.
Peeing in buckets.
Who
knew?
Those would be the glory days.
It was the good old days.
Of Bieber. When he was egging houses and peeing in buckets. That's now when he was just reasonable.
Now he's just confusing.
Today's celebrity birthday is G-Eazy's 27 years old today. John C. Reilly, one of my favorites, 51 years old. Alfred Molina, amazingly talented actor, 63.
He's from the Spider-Man movies, right?
He played Dr. Octopus.
Right,
yeah. Not recently, but I don't know, 10 years ago, is that?
All right.
That second film came out. Tommy Chong, 78 years old. And singer Bob Dylan is 75. We celebrate 75 years of Bob Dylan. Still at the top of his game. Producing amazing music. He's got a brand new album out called Fallen Angels.
Did you say he's still at the top of his game?
Oh, yes, Kevin. You should hear Fallen Angels, which is entirely an album of Frank Sinatra covers.
His second in a row, by the way.
Well, yeah, because that's what Dylan does best. He talks about the oppression of the people. And doobie-doobie-doo. Here's a little Bob Dylan singing All the Way by Frank Sinatra.
But if you let me love you, it's for sure I'm gonna love you all the way. All the way.
That's good. We got that, Bob. That's one take. We're fine with that. That's the one we're gonna use.
Isn't he known mostly for his songwriting?
Yes.
Why would he do this?
That is hardly All Along the Watchtower. Not exactly Blown in the Wind. Dylan sings Sinatra.
Wow. Look.
Wow.
He's an old man.
You look.
I guess we just have to let him do whatever he wants to do.
Well, save that for the talent show at the home.
keep it off,
which he will surely be in a year.
Yeah, he'd probably win, too. He's pretty good.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
That sounds like it's time for the Bachelorette Report.
Well, his name is Ralph Garman, and he claims to be a man. With Petra's papa thinking, so he's holding hands. Kissing and hugging at sunset. Watching the Bachelorette. How can you watch that TV show? It both sucks and blows, but you watch it without any regret. Here's the update about the Bachelorette.
Omar sounds like he's not 100% on board yet, but the rest of us sure are. The Bachelorette is back. ABC TV last night with episode number one. Ralph is here. Let's bring P into the party. Hey, Petros, what's going on, my friend?
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Ready for the journey.
Petros, am I overstating things when I say this may be the greatest season ever?
No, and it's also probably the most emotional season ever.
And dramatic?
I would imagine some of the most shocking and dramatic things.
Yeah. First of all, you know my love. You know my love for JoJo.
She is likable. There's no doubt that she's a likable girl, and she's big in the right places. If you know what I'm saying.
Well, I think we covered this last season. Yep. There's a certain part of her anatomy you think is pretty strong.
Yeah, well, you know, it's going to be hard to get through some doorways.
Now, here's the thing that always strikes me as I watch The Bachelorette, and I forget. Because, you know, they alternate, and The Bachelor was last season. It was a bunch of women. That it's – I feel like – how do I put this? Men are the worst, right?
Well, you're a man.
Yes.
So you recognize terrible traits in other men that some women might even find attractive.
But this batch.
So it upsets you more. What you're doing on the first episode when it's women, because you're a heterosexual – or you're thinking about, you know, whether or not you would have sex with each and every one of the women that walk down the thing. Mm-hmm. You're not thinking about that with the dudes, maybe one or two.
Yeah.
Plus, he loves JoJo, so none of them are good enough for her.
But this batch is particularly awful.
You know what? We say that, though. We've been saying this
for 15 years. True.
This is the worst cast they've ever. Look at the bottom of the barrel they scraped to get these douchebags. But, you know, the truth is, that's true. I mean, this has been going on a long time, and people know if they go on the show, they're going to get humiliated for the most part.
Right, and nobody would watch it if they didn't do it this way.
I just, you know, what kind of person is confident enough to feel like they're going to kill network TV on The Bachelor? Usually it's a giant douche.
Well, right. I'll tell you, Pete, let's dive in. I'll tell you someone who thinks he's confident enough. His name is Evan. He's 33 years old, and he used to be a pastor, but now he's got a brand new line of work.
My name's Evan. 33, and I'm from Nashville, Tennessee. I was a pastor for years, and I loved it. But now I found a different way to lift people's spirits. I'm the director of a chain of medical practices that help men who have erectile dysfunction and low testosterone.
Hey, Adam, how's it going?
When guys come in, they're really down, and they feel like half of a man, if that. A lot of what I do is just, you know, pumping up my guys and getting them excited. It's a hard business.
Yeah, it sure is.
He's pumping them up, and it's a hard
business.
Pumping
up the guys. It's a hard business.
Well, we see why he was chased out of the clergy.
What a bastion of knowledge. What a wonderful pastime for people to enjoy. A guy making at least 15 Bona references while explaining his line of work.
Yeah. Then the guy
looks like a rat.
He does. He's a particularly unattractive young man.
He made it, though. He got a rose.
He did. He made it through. Will.
Oh, my gosh.
As they start showing up in the limo, the guys start coming out, and they've got their different shticks. You know, one guy's dressed as Santa Claus. Another guy's wearing a kilt. Then there's Will, who brought out some 3x5 cards that he accidentally dropped and fumbled when he got out of the limo.
Right. Accidentally.
Accidentally.
In air quotes, yeah.
And so he approaches JoJo, and he starts to read off the cards because he's so nervous.
I thought I'd be more nervous, which is why I brought the cards.
Yeah?
But I have no idea what order they're in now. So, JoJo?
Yes, Will.
I just want to say that there's no doubt in my mind that I am the most beautiful woman in the world.
Oh.
So I definitely mixed them up.
Yeah, it's okay.
But all joking aside, I'm really looking forward to getting to know you.
Wow.
All joking aside.
Whoa. Can she kick him off right there, then?
No, sadly she has to wait.
It's too bad.
When you can find the same joke in the book you're reading your child. On a show
show that airs after 9 o'clock on network TV. It might be time to hang it up.
All right, we're going to have to spend some time on Daniel. Daniel P. is the male model from Canada.
Like Canada's ghost.
Now, this is my guy.
Is this Beans' guy in the pick?
This is now, Beans.
Does Pino know that we did a bachelorette draft yesterday?
You know, we did a fantasy draft yesterday.
Yeah, did I get the Chinese guy in a kilt? Somebody told me I have Derek, the investment banker.
Yes,
you
do.
I don't figure out the names until we're way, way into this because there's so many guys. But
yeah, you do have Derek, and you'll be happy to know he did make it through to the next round. So you're solid.
What do I win?
We'll talk about that off the air. But Daniel is Bean's pick. He is the male model from Canada. And he had a definite opinion about Jonathan, the Asian Scottish gentleman who did wear the kilt into the cocktail party.
You shouldn't try too hard like that. It'd be like the same thing as if I just took off my shirt. Look at my body. It's amazing, you know? But I'm not going to do that, right?
Oh.
Just keep it cool for the first night.
Right. Keep it cool for the first night.
For the first night.
And then what did Daniel proceed to do later in the evening?
Take his shirt off?
Well, you knew it was going to happen. He told himself he wasn't going to do it.
No, you keep it cool for the first night.
Drinks. What disturbed me the most is he wore the exact same style underwear that I grew up watching my father wear.
Yeah, he not only took off his shirt, he stripped down to his underwear.
Okay.
And jumped in the pool.
Hammered and jumped in the pool.
Okay.
But you know what? I think it's a record because I think this is I might be wrong, but I think this is the first guy to ever jump in the pool on the first night and not get kicked out.
Yes.
Oh.
He did survive as well. He's also going on to the next round.
Look, you can criticize my boy Daniel, but again, the reason he stripped to his underwear is if you've got a Lambo, you don't leave it in the garage, you guys.
That's
he
true.
Said that in his questionnaire.
That is so what he said.
That may not be the only reason Daniel stripped down, Bean. I'd like to present another piece of tape from Daniel.
She's a lucky girl because there's a lot of good guys that seem nice.
Woo-hoo.
If I was gay, I'd be in paradise.
Yeah, the drunker he got, the more attractive he found the men.
If I were gay.
If I was gay, I'd be in paradise.
I think right in the middle he realized he shouldn't say it. He was like, if I was gay,
Then Nick S., who was the Eagle Scout that Christine here on the show had picked as her front runner from the draft, he proceeded to get beyond hammered drunk.
Who are these people that get hammered on the first night?
They get nervous. Look, they're there all night. When they do their exit interviews, the sun is up. It's beating down on them. I mean, it's a long, we're talking about 12 hours of being tortured. They're trying to get you to make a fool of yourself.
So JoJo's in the middle of an interview with one of the producers. You know, they shoot those talking head interviews where, how do you feel about the night going on? And Nick S. just burst through the door.
Oh, no.
To everyone's chagrin.
Hello? Oh, shoot.
Yeah. All right. So that was a glass of wine.
What are you doing?
This is a glass of water.
This water?
With lemon.
What are you... What are you doing? What's up?
So I was like bringing that one in, but I decided to bring that one instead. A little happy, happy.
Hi, we're doing an interview.
Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
That
he went full Kevin. You don't go full Kevin.
How dare you, sir?
Just don't.
That upset me because I was like, is that how I am when I'm drunk? You know, because he seemed really confident. And I was like, it's just, I don't think it's going the way he thinks it's going.
No, it's not.
And lastly, so Nick got boot. So Christine's the first one out.
Yeah, oh,
Nick got the boot. But lastly, we got to talk a little bit about Chad P. before we say goodbye.
That's when I wanted to give P.
Chad?
Yes.
Is that the evil guy from Tulsa?
He is the
dark guy from Tulsa.
As my wife said last night, he's a luxury real estate agent in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Those two things don't go together.
Hey, $100,000 will get you a
mansion
that Madonna would want to live in.
Chad is a dark psychopath.
Okay.
In my opinion. Like seriously dangerous.
Uh-oh.
Right,
Pete? Yeah. He's an anti-hero. There's no doubt about it. And when you see Tulsa, look, I've been to Tulsa, and on the door of every building, there's a gun with a circle and a cross through it, like the Ghostbusters. Like, don't you bring your gun in here.
Right.
Like, everybody's just walking on the street with guns. It's a crazy place.
He believes he's got a secret connection with JoJo.
No.
Yeah.
I feel pretty comfortable I'll get a rose. JoJo and I keep locking eyes throughout the rose ceremony, so it's obvious to me that we have something. We should be vibing.
She be vibing.
She be vibing.
She's sending me messages.
But aren't these the kind of guys in every show, Ralph, who 4 weeks from now are going to be complaining that he can't take the stress of her dating all these guys at once? And it's supposed to just be about me and her. And he'll forget the reason he's there is to compete.
I don't think so, because in the coming attractions, they did show Chad threatening the lives of several of the men in the house.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
And don't forget the intense temple poke that he did to one dude.
He did poke
just
a guy in the temple.
Poke of the guy's temple.
Sounds like it was a great debut episode for the new season. P, I got to ask you, how are Harrison's hands looking to you this season?
Oh. You know what? They get smaller every year.
Stop it, you two.
And he's not fooling anybody by stretching out his fingers like OJ trying to try on that glove.
You are the worst.
Space between those freaking digits.
You leave my boy Crispy Harrison alone.
Yeah, he's a real prince.
All right, every Tuesday morning at this time, we do the Bachelorette Report with our good friend Petros Papadakis. P, what time are you and Money going to be talking about the Bachelorette on your show this afternoon on AM 570?
Usually right around 5 o'clock before the Dodger game, so all those baseball fans waiting for Vin Scully can get a heaping pile of crap.
That's exactly what they tuned in for. Thanks, P. Thanks, Ralph. Comedian Jim Norton in studio with us here again on The Kevin and Bean Show, New York Times bestselling author, TV and radio personality, and every year when he stops by to visit us, I'm amazed he's still alive. How are you, Jim?
That's a great intro.
Wow. It's true, though. You seem like a guy who squeezes every last drop out of life and gets yourself into some sketchy situations.
You're right.
I just feel like there's going to be a story one day where we're going to be like, well, Jim Norton didn't know what he was getting himself into that day.
Yeah, Jim overrated the effectiveness of prep. And well, you know.
Exactly.
I saw that on the bus. I was like, wow, that stuff looks pretty good. My manager's but isn't that? I'm like, all right, forget it. Let's not talk about it. It's too much to explain.
So how you been? You said you haven't been out to L.A. for months now, right?
Probably 6 or 8 months. Yeah, I really miss it out here when I don't come. It's funny how, like, you know, in New York, people think it's hip to bash L.A.
Right.
But, like, when I come out here, I always love it. And then, like, when I miss being out here. So I had a few days off. I'm like, I just want to come out early and do press. Not the ticket sales aren't great for the Novo, though.
Now, the Novo Theater at LA Live is what used to be called Club Nokia, right?
Yes. I don't know why they changed the name. I don't know what Novo means.
It's a sponsor
means.
Thing, I think, yeah.
Okay.
I think it's a Windows thing.
Oh.
Microsoft or something. I don't know.
Oh, is that what that means?
Yeah, I think.
Right.
Sounds like birth control.
That's what I thought, too.
Birth control? All right.
Yeah.
A great picture of my face on the front. Do you want this falling out of you?
That's the best birth control ever. The Novo Theater at LA Live is where you can see Jim Norton. The show is called Mouthful of Shame. This is a different show than last time you came through?
It is, yeah. I change it every year, every year and a half maximum. I get very bored very fast. So, you know, you shoot it, and then all of a sudden you're done with it, and you move on to the next. I like this one a lot. Everyone says that about their current set, you have to. But this one I like a lot.
You like this better than the one previous one?
Yeah, I do. Because I'm confessing more things on stage. You know, it always feels good. Like the deeper you have to dig to pull stuff out, the more stuff you have to say that you like. I literally was editing myself and my parents were in the audience. I've never done that. But there's just certain things I don't want to talk about with my mom and dad looking happily. That's our
right.
boy.
That's the know. That's like that's the worst thing.
It's humiliating. It's humiliating.
A lot of comedians are confessional. That's where some of their best material comes from, is just being frank and honest about their lives. You go way deeper than that even. I feel like for you it is therapy, Jim.
Well, you know, it's radio too does it, because you find on slow news days when there's not a whole lot to talk about, you start spitting out the personal stuff.
Right.
Just because, well, what's going on? Not much. All right, I had homosexual encounters when I was 7. You know, you just start anything to get people. It just comes out on a slow news day. So the radio really pushed me into that. And then all of a sudden it starts, I'm talking about it, so I would bring it to the stage that night. And I've always been fairly honest, but you go level after level deeper on just on slow news days. August was always a good month for some reason. I guess because everybody's off, so there's not a whole lot happening in the news, and I tended to get a lot of the dirt out, I noticed, around that time. That's when we would get in trouble on the radio.
Now, when you have better stuff like you feel like you do this time, is it harder to say goodbye to it?
Yeah, you do. You get married to it, but it feels, you know, because the whole Caitlyn thing got me talking about that stuff, the trends and what you can joke about and what you can't.
All
my
the PC
experience
stuff, right?
Yeah, but also my experience in it too. What true support is, and you know, I will miss it when it's gone, but you get sick of talking about it. Like, you miss the honesty of it, you miss the fun of it, but then you're like, all right, already, you've said this 1,000 times, just shut up and move on. You know what I mean?
You say to yourself.
Oh, yeah, I do. I really, that's how I talk to myself. It's the only way to do it. You know, guys that do the same act for 10 years, if you're listening, I envy you. I don't know how you do it. It's not
without
integrity.
Getting just bored, right? It's just...
They must be bored out of their minds, but they do it. They sell it like it's brand new stuff. I see the same guys year after year. I'm like, that's amazing that this guy can go up and sell
it. You get to a point where you just can't put the effort into it that you used to. You just don't have the passion for it.
Yeah, and it starts to feel like hollow, and it doesn't. There's no vibe of it. There's no echo. It's just like bong bong. I'm like, I can't say this anymore. So once it's shot, I'm done with it. And it feels good to get rid of it.
Why do you call it mouthful of shame? Because I feel like there's nothing you're ashamed of anymore, Jim.
Well, you know, it's kind of a combination.
It's acceptance for you, I think.
It is, but you know, there is shame what comes out of my mouth and certainly what goes into it. So,
well, there should be for what goes into it.
Yeah. Wow, I didn't know you could gargle with that stuff. Well, you know, it's one of those things where you learn. I figured mouthful of shame kind of summed it up really nicely, and that's pretty much what I have.
Did I read that you no longer go to a therapist?
I stopped, yeah. But it was only because it felt redundant, and she wasn't thank you. I'm doing radio literally since 2000, and I was talking into the wrong part of the microphone.
Well, podcast mics are up at top.
I know. I still should have known, though.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Okay. These mics are weird that way.
Do we have to start over?
No, we're good. Okay. We can be heard. You were saying you stopped going to your therapist because?
You know, it's funny. I just felt like I wasn't getting anything out of it at one point. I still go to, like, 12-step meetings, but I was, like, you know, I was suicidal, and I was just depressed, and I wasn't getting anything. Like, she was just kind of going,
terrible
yeah.
terrible therapist.
Yeah.
You were depressed and suicidal and got nothing out of it.
Yeah, she wasn't helping.
Well,
I mean,
maybe that's the wrong therapist.
You're probably right, yeah. Because she was like, yeah, yeah. A part of me thought she was rooting for me to do it.
No.
So she'd have a great story at therapist camp.
Jim, you know every time you pay a woman to come to your apartment, that's not a therapist, right? You know that.
You are correct, and I thought it was going to be good therapy. Like, you know, physical therapy, too. Like,
sure,
three
right.
knuckles this time. I'm a good boy.
Wow.
I'm a good boy. But, yeah, I felt like I was not I haven't done that in a while, either. I've been trying to stop a lot of that stuff. The dirty sexual stuff.
We need to talk about that in a second.
I have heard.
We need to take a break.
Okay.
Jim Norton is here, and we'll be right back on K-Rock.
Our friend Jim Norton with us here this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. You can see him Thursday night at 8 o'clock at the Novo Theater, formerly Club Nokia at LA Live. Tickets are on sale right now through jimnorton.com. Jim, here's the most shocking thing on the paper in front of me. Your show is all ages?
Yeah, I mean...
No way!
You normally, can't do the three knuckles deep chunk in front of the kids.
Well, normally...
Like we just did?
18's usually the cutoff in the other way. Nobody over 18 permitted. Yeah, I didn't realize that either, but it's like any parent that's going to bring their 16-year-old, I mean that's
they've
just kind of a bad
stuff.
Move. Yeah, yes. And they've heard some stuff. You know what? In this culture, man, nothing I say is that shocking. What you can see on your phone or online
true.
With Snapchat, you know, I'm just doing dumb jokes. There's nothing that's going to surprise you.
All right, JimNorton.com to buy the tickets. Hey, I wanted to ask you, and we'll let Kevin get back to his dirty text question in a second, but I wanted to ask you because I saw the Esquire piece that ran on you last month. That was a really nice article, but they talked about the memorabilia that you have in your apartment. It sounds like some sort of a freaking museum. What do you collect, Jim?
You know, it's funny. I collect the tears of women who had other ideas. No, I collect just stuff that if I meet people, I get stuff signed. You know, you guys interview people. It's fun to get, like, you know, boxing glove sign, MMA glove sign, baseballs, photos of myself sign. It really is a bit obsessive, and I've kind of stopped
photos
doing it.
Photos of yourself sign?
With the person, not just me. Yeah.
Checking.
Here's me in third grade. Did you sign this?
I sign them. Dear douche from douche.
So, in other words, it's not like you're a crazy Yankees fan and you collect Yankee stuff. You just collect stuff from whoever that you meet that you're impressed with.
Yeah, usually it's usually somebody I've interviewed. The only guy I've got one from who I really didn't interview is Ali. I get to meet Ali. I asked him to sign a box. Glove.
Oh, that's crazy good, though, right?
Yeah,
who wouldn't want that?
Yeah, we spent 40 minutes with him in his hotel room. Me, him, his wife, my manager, and a mutual friend.
How long ago?
That was probably 3 years ago, three and a half years ago.
I don't mean this in a mean way, but was the signature legible?
It is. It's very small. He writes really tiny because, you know, again, for him, the movement is so hard.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't shaking, so I'm like, with Parkinson's meds, it must be very heavy medication that kind of keeps you still. But he didn't talk much, but he was present, and he was listening, and he chimed in a little bit. But for him, I think it's a big strain to talk. But, you
but
know,
that's presence of greatness stuff. That's like you walk out and you go, my God, the day I die, I'll remember that I met Muhammad Ali.
You know? Yeah, but then I felt bad for him in a way. Like, you know, he doesn't even, he's not even able to tell his wife, can you get these asses out of here? Who are these creeps?
Who are these? He doesn't have a signal or anything that he can. If I blink twice, get them out.
Yeah, if I knock over a drink, that means get rid of these two jerks. Poor Muhammad.
I met Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and I wanted his autograph, and he handed me a card instead.
Did he?
And the card says, "This the person that has this card met Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and in place of an autograph, and he just had a stack of cards ready to go."
That is awesome.
That's very smart.
At first, I was a little annoyed, and then I was like, of course. That makes perfect sense. How many people would stop him everywhere he went?
I want you know,
he stands out a little bit.
Dude, I have a picture with Kareem. I met him at Sirius. He came in to do some other show, and he's my favorite ball player of all time.
Oh, he is? Oh, I didn't know that.
I love him, and even though I know he's notoriously cranky. And he recognized me from an episode of Bored to Death that I did, that Jason Schwartzman show.
Which we love. Yeah.
So he started talking to me. He's like, where do I know you from? And we started chatting. So he took a photo with me. He was fine. And I asked him
to sign. Did he give you a card?
No, he did not. He took a photo happily. But when I asked him to sign the ball, I could tell he really didn't want to, even though I get it personalized. I'm not going to sell it. But then the booker for Syracuse Cream's like, oh, I got to go do an interview. And the booker's like, no, you have time. Because I think the booker was a little annoyed at his publicist, so they kind of threw under the bus. So he signed the ball for me.
Do you think that's it, that they don't – they think that you're just going to sell it and they –
And they're tired of doing it. But it was just me and him there. There was nobody was bothering him there.
Yeah, it's not like you were going to start a crowd rushing him for autographs.
Yeah, it was just us standing there. And it's Abdul-Jabbar. I mean, so he signed it to me. I always get it to me. I'm not going to sell it. I don't, you know.
Anybody named Jim?
Yeah.
I have this thing for auction.
Well, they're auctioning Beatles stuff and it's all with stuff people's names on. Like, who wants to buy it with somebody else's name on it? That's terrible.
Also in this Esquire piece, it talked about your love of hard rock, especially Ozzy.
Yes.
And it made reference to, and I'm dying to know if this is true, have you become somewhat friends with Ozzy Osbourne, Jim?
I have gotten to know him and Sharon. Yeah, it's really weird because there's that transition period where they're like, oh, we recognize you from the hedges staring in. But no.
We made several calls to our security about you.
You are lovely. Yeah, no, I've gotten to know them because Sharon, we interviewed her a bunch, and she liked me and she trusted me and she knew I wouldn't try to make a jerk out of Ozzy. Mm-hmm. So she would give me Ozzy and Sabbath interviews knowing that I was going to treat them well. And you
That's
know,
pretty cool.
Yeah, there's nothing I've enjoyed.
How long did it take for you to get to the point where you stopped thinking, wow, I'm standing here with him?
After a few interviews, like when you spend an hour together one-on-one talking about being sober or whatever it is you're talking about, you just realize that, like, when he started recognizing me and going, oh, hey, Jim, it was like, I'm still happy it's him. But you get used to him. You get used to the great cologne smell. You get used to him talking to you. You know, you just become accustomed to it. And
what kind of cologne?
I don't know what he wears, but it smells so good. He won't tell me what he wears. Like, the wife picks it out.
It's like his signature smell.
It's awesome. That's why people just want to hug him.
I like that you asked, but he wouldn't tell you.
Yeah. He knows, too, but he won't tell me. That's how I'll know I'm really friends with him, when he gives me a bottle. When he hands me a bottle of cologne, I'm like, all right, Ozzy really likes me.
Is it frustrating for you, Jim, as a fellow music fan, is it frustrating for you that to the vast majority of people, Ozzy Osbourne is just this old guy who shuffles around and is incomprehensible and says wacky things and is not one of the greatest musical hard rock artists of all time?
Well, I think it's
I don't think he gets his due, is what I'm saying, as a great musician, innovator, songwriter, singer, etc.
I think you're right. I think Sabbath finally got it at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It took a lot of years, and Ozzy just said, screw it, take us off the ballot. But yeah, people who think that he's not with it, like, I've spent time in the car with him, and he's up on everything.
Yeah.
You know, he's talking about the last time we took a ride to a gig, we talked about the Fukushima meltdown. He's 100% aware of everything that's going on.
I've also seen him in concert where he's completely out of it and barely there. And I've seen him even after that where he's completely clear and jumping around and energetic. And this is after their TV show. I mean, he's really on top of it when it seems like when he's clean.
I also when he's sober, it's a different mentality. Those other times, he perhaps have tipped a few back. But when you see him sober, it's like he's up on whatever's going on. And there's no difference talking to him than anybody else. He stutters, though. So when you stutter, people don't think that they think you're reaching for your point instead of realizing it's just the word you fall
right
over.
What was your read on the news from a couple of weeks ago where some were suggesting it was maybe a publicity stunt, that Ozzy and Sharon weren't really splitting up? They were just trying to draw attention to their announcement about the tour with Slipknot. What was that all about?
You know, it's I don't think that they would do that just to the family. I don't see, like, you know, that's one of those things that you don't ever want when you're in your 60s. You don't want to have to deal with that. It's like, whether you're him or her, I'm sure you want other things to talk about.
Sure.
I don't think that they would do that, just from what I know. But it's so funny. People were tweeting me, asking me who gets stuck with Jim. Like, does Ozzy or Sharon get to keep Jim Norton? Or do you actually get stuck with Jim Norton? So I really appreciate that people understood how traumatic it was for me personally that they were quarreling. I hated it.
Well, I'm just impressed that we now know a guy who's friends with Ozzy Osbourne. I feel cool just knowing Jim now because he knows Ozzy.
Yeah, they're really awesome people. And I'm not just saying that because I love them. They're just the whole family is just nice. Once they know that you're not out to get some tabloid information or be creepy and they relax around you, they're really, really nice people.
I imagine that you would have to have your guard up all the time if you're them.
Sure, because everybody wants to tape you and get information and find stuff out.
And the worse, the better.
Of course.
Yeah.
And I have zero interest. I've heard so – it's funny because, you know, I've paid for so much sex in my life. I've heard so many things about people in the public eye who don't want people to know that they hook up with transgender girls or all this fake support they give the trans community. And I would never say it because it's just – it's gross to me to out people's privacy. Right. But it's amazing how many people talk. You know, you think you can trust somebody, but you really can't. So all you guys out there that are doing this stuff, they're talking about you behind your backs.
I don't doubt that at all. Jim Norton is here on the Kevin Amin Show. The tour is called Mouthful of Shame. It is in L.A. this week, Thursday night at the Novo Theater at L.A. Live. JimNorton.com to buy your tickets. All right, to Kevin's question before the break.
Sure.
Why are you trying to clean up your act at this point, Jim?
You get to a point where it's just redundant. Like it's almost like just the obsession with the phones, and it's just it's like you don't connect with people anymore. You stop having that interpersonal connection, and every person you meet becomes disposable because again you're so used to Tinder and to Bumble and swipe, 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 and that's all people become is this thing you swipe away, and there's nothing to connect to.
So you're trying to treat people like people now and have actual interaction with them. One-on-one.
Yeah, I miss the normal stuff. I envy my friends. I'm not saying I want to be married, but I envy my friends who have this calmness about them while I'm just running around like, what's the next thing? What's the next thing? It's not even sexual. It's just, what's the next thing I can watch? I don't want to watch Walking Dead. I want to do this. And there's no moment where I feel just good and comfortable and relaxed. And that doesn't always make for good comedy. It makes redundant comedy. So it's like you want to, you know, you convince yourselves that your life has to suck for your comedy to be good.
What was the last time you had a full-on relationship with somebody? It lasted for a decent amount of time.
Well, I remember, I would say the last real relationship I had ended in 2011.
Okay.
I've dated a lot since then, but that was the last girlfriend I had. And I remember because when Obama got elected, we were dating. And she was so happy that I received the benefits of her happiness. It's true, during Obama. So I always loved Obama for that. During his inauguration was the first time she and I did something that required me to go, that was great, and her to go, oop, you said you were going to tell me. That was a wonderful, wonderful day for my ex and I.
I feel like we'll hear more of this story Thursday night, by the way, at the Novo.
You certainly will, with much more graphic language.
You know, before we go, Jim, and I hate that we're out of time. It goes by so fast when you're in here. The thing that you're talking about, the what's next, I think our brains are becoming wired that way, partly because of the internet. I think all of us have full-time ADD now. That's why you have all these things like you watch The Walking Dead and it has to be a second screen experience because it's not enough now to just watch a TV show. Now you also have to be interacting online. You know what I mean? You also have to be texting. You also have to be reading. You also have to be doing a million other things. We can't just do one thing anymore.
Dude, I can't even read books anymore. We interview people with biographies and stuff. I can't even read a book. I'll look at the prep sheet.
My eyes are jumping around.
Yeah, it's hard,
focus.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, we had Moby in recently. A fascinating guy. A really honest book.
And I've heard his book is great.
I've heard the same thing. I wouldn't know. I mean, it was a lovely wait. But I had nothing. You know, I'm like, Soho, you play music. Thank God he was a great guest. And was just open about everything, and we talked. But, you know, I've gotten to a point now where I can't even, you know, Opie told me he listens to the book on tape or whatever. Those are supposed to be very good. Maybe I'll start doing that, but I can't even focus to read anymore. I'm saving all my books to read them. I think this magic day is going to come where I'm going to read something.
Really? You think that's going to happen?
No, it's not. I'm deluding myself yet again.
Well, as you can tell, Jim's got a lot on his mind and a lot to share with you. Please go to JimNorton.com right now and get your tickets for Thursday night at the Novo Theater at LA Live. You will have a great time seeing the Mouthful of Shame tour. Don't make it so long to come back and see us next time, Jim. We enjoyed it.
I love you guys, man. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
You bet. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:57.
Minutes away from you winning your tickets for the Life is Beautiful Festival in Las Vegas, the one in Nevada, you guys. That is coming up just after Ralph's Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday.
That's Nevada, Miss Madam President.
Right.
Every time I hear Nevada or Nevada now, I can't help but think of Veep.
How many times did they do that over the past three episodes? It's hilarious.
100.
We have to worry about Nevada.
That's Nevada, Madam President. Gary Cole, by the way. Gary Cole.
Yeah, he's great.
Right? Gary Cole.
He's great.
National treasure.
Well, it's hard to point anybody out from that cast because every time somebody opens their mouth, you're like, oh, that's the greatest comic actor. Oh, no, wait a minute. That's the greatest comic actor ever.
My obsession this year, and again, we apologize because we always talk about Veep, is Sam
Robertson.
Why would
we apologize?
Sam
People
Robertson
are watching a boo on them.
Who plays Richard on the show, is now my favorite character right now. He slays me. He's
so
funny.
How can you pick a favorite out there?
I know. And then there's Jonah. Then there's Dan. Right?
Right.
I'm a MRSA infection. You're not getting rid of Jonah Ryan.
It's too good, you guys.
He's going to be running for Congress.
He is.
Jonah's running for Congress.
It's going to be so ugly.
I would vote for him.
In a heartbeat. I'd vote for him for president. I'm a MRSA infection, he said proudly.
Yes, he did.
Come on now. All right, let's talk about show business. Kelly Osbourne. She's a delicate little flower. She's a princess. She's a daisy. She went on Twitter and then tweeted out the number of her father's alleged mistress. Phone number.
Yay!
Tweeted out the phone number along with a message that anyone looking for cheap, chunky lowlights or a blowout and a blow something else should call this number. Tweeted out the woman's number.
Whoa.
I understand she's upset, but that is inappropriate, to say the least.
Yeah.
Then some people called her on saying, look, I can see why you're mad, but, you know, your dad also said yes at some point to this arrangement, right? Takes two to tango kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
She went off on people on Twitter about that. What do you know about my family? Keep your opinions to yourself. You don't know anything.
So he didn't have to say yes at some point?
Well, here's her other rebuttal, which I thought was spectacular. She said, he's almost 70 years old. Ever heard of elder abuse?
Oh.
So apparently when your hairdresser takes care of you, that's...
She was abusing
something. That's elder abuse. Yeah. Yeah.
Yikes.
But can you imagine, look, whatever this woman may or may not have done with Ozzy Osbourne, doesn't deserve to have her phone number tweeted out to the world, right?
Yeah, it's dangerous.
I would think.
The internet is a dangerous place, and they can find people.
I know.
That's not a good idea.
And along those lines, and you know I am, I'm a huge Taylor Swift fan.
Right. From the beginning.
From the beginning. But even along those lines, I think this is nuts. Taylor Swift and her crew apparently are the targets now of death threats via social media. There's one particular guy who's been threatening to kill Taylor Swift and left a message about people gonna die, a la Shake It Off, which is terrifying.
Yeah.
He's been sending these messages also to Gigi Hadid and Cara Delevingne as well.
Don't kill models, by the way.
I don't think that's our point.
I think don't kill. You could probably just put a period at the end of that.
Stop there.
Okay, but I'm just saying, if you're going to kill, don't kill models.
No, let's say don't kill.
Let's just end it there. We're good with don't kill.
Let's not open it up to if you're going to kill. Let's just take that off the table.
He's the only one where that's acceptable.
Right.
I get it. He's got to kill somebody.
I can see some murder. But let's make our murder more specific. Police are looking into it, and they have got a search warrant to check the records at Twitter in hopes of finding the offender, and I hope they do, and hit him with everything they got. Drones, warheads, whatever they got. Use it.
It's not worth it being famous, you guys.
That's why we try to stay so low profile here.
Right, we stay under the radar.
Exactly. Because we don't want that kind of hassle. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Tommy Chong, 78 years old today. G.E.Z. is 27. John C. Reilly is 51. Alfred Molina is 63. And Bob Dylan, the legendary Bob Dylan, is 75 years old today. You can celebrate by listening to his new album, Fallen Angels, which features all covers of old Frank Sinatra songs.
Bob's finally gone around the bend.
Wow.
He needed to lay these down. We played a little clip from the last hour. Here's another song off that album called It Had to Be You, a classic from Frank Sinatra, not so classic from Bob Dylan.
It had to be you. It had to be you.
Oh, that little pitchy dog.
I wandered around.
That can't be the right
words. And finally found the somebody who.
Can we keep drunk Uncle Bob away from the mic at the wedding, please?
What do you guys think? Serious question. What do you guys think is going on in his mind that he thinks him singing classics of the 30s, 40s, and 50s is a thing that anybody needs or wants?
My guess is he just doesn't give a rat's ass anymore. And just he's gonna do Bob.
Because you're not going to sing it any better than it's been done, right?
Not with
especially
that
him.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Did you buy it, Bean?
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
I mean.
Prosecution rests, Your Honor. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Cut me farther than I've ever been.
Hey!
Nope. Still nope. So much nope.
Woo!
I think Chip is 0 for whatever.
You gotta love Chip.
0 for all. Dear Kevin and Bean, Randy writes in, so I'd seen the stills and the headlines about the Chewbacca mask video, but it looked too stupid to click on. But after listening to you guys just now discuss it, I thought I better form my own opinion, so I watched it. Was it as stupid as I thought it would be? Yes. Could I keep from laughing along with it? No. I think Ali and Kevin win on this one.
There you go. There
we That's go. What Randy says anyways. He's also a crazy madman.
Ali and I like joy.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Ralph and Bean, not so much.
God, fear and sanity.
Busted. Guilty. As charged.
It's science.
Yeah. 9:43, time for a final look at the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday. What's going on?
Here's the thing, angry mob of joyful people.
is there such a thing possible?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, there is. You're allowed to enjoy it. Good, have fun.
Have at it.
Good for you. Go watch again. It's okay. It's all right.
You should be happier.
Angry, joyful.
Why aren't you happy as I am?
Joy, asshole. Okay. All right, joyful people.
You're so stupid that you don't love this the way I do.
Darf. What?
What?
Darf.
Darf.
They're saying.
No one's saying that.
Oh, a lot of people.
I don't think anyone has ever said that.
A lot of darf. This is nuts. Speaking of movies made by Disney and Marvel and Lucasfilm and Pixar.
Oh, just them?
Just those groups who make those films. Netflix is taking over the world.
Yeah.
Just announced Netflix has nabbed exclusive streaming rights to films made by Disney, Marvel, Lucasfilm, and Pixar.
Holy moly.
Every movie Disney releases from this year onward will have one digital home, says this news story out of Consequence of Sound. This begins in September. There'll be only one place where you can stream Captain America Civil War, The Jungle Book, Finding Dory, Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, etc., etc., etc. So, they got it all now. Netflix has it all.
I think at this point, I might give up the networks before I'd give up Netflix. Honestly. With as much programming as they have, it's insane.
I'm sorry, is that what it's come to?
We have I don't to pay, think we have to make that choice.
No.
For
no.
A minute there,
that is
a
not a choice that needs to be made.
What I'm saying is the
I'm find
Netflix,
The Bachelor on Netflix.
Netflix used to just be, get it or not. But now it's, for TV fans, it's pretty essential.
All right.
I'm saying.
Hot take.
So you're going to keep it?
I'm going to keep it.
People watch Netflix, and you're going to watch it, too. You're
that
saying.
Is right. Yes.
Correct. I don't know, Bean. I had enough controversy today on the show. Do you really want to step over that line?
Maybe I better think about it some
Maybe
more.
You should. Stand down, sailor. This breaks my heart. You know, Kate Hudson and Nick Jonas are hot and heavy.
Oh, I did not realize.
Oh, yes. They're very much a couple. But here's
they're
the
not
thing.
Mother and son?
How...
Oh.
God. Dare
what?
You.
I didn't.
Kate Hudson is 14 years his senior.
All right.
But if it were the other way around, would we even bat an eye?
No, you wouldn't.
Exactly.
Suck oh, Nick Bean. Jonas is so cute.
Right.
See, everyone loves him.
He is so cute.
And they're a couple, and they're just a charming, adorable couple. But now, see, just when I start to believe in love again, then the truth has to intervene.
Oh, now, oh, what?
According to the National Enquirer, our paper of record.
Sure.
Their relationship is partly, you know, bumping uglies.
Right.
But the other part, engineered to enhance their public image.
Oh, no.
Hey, those Jonas Brothers assholes!
Both Nick and Kate have hired social media experts to monitor their hireability and to get their profile raised on social media sites to increase their publicity.
I don't like this at all.
I don't believe
what
it.
What about love?
I don't believe it.
What about love? Love indeed.
What about love?
What happened to love?
Right? Don't you want someone to share it with you?
Nope.
What about love?
No. Stop.
But what's up
you
with love?
You are a murderer of love!
Right. So if you can't count on K-Huds and Nick Joe and N-Jo,
whichever,
or Hud Joe or
Sonix,
Knick, to represent the true feelings of the world, then what hope do the rest of us have?
None. The answer,
right.
None.
That's the
none
answer.
Hope.
But they're still doing it, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Oh, then...
Every which way. That Kate Hudson, man, that's a good deal right there. Right, fellas? Who's with me?
I'm with you.
All right. Oh,
please.
How can you not love Kate Hudson?
She is adorable.
She's okay. She's all right. She's sexy as hell, and she's adorable.
She's not an unattractive woman.
And she's talented and funny?
Yes. All those things.
Yeah, she's all right.
Okay.
I mean, asshole.
She's not top. Thousand, but she's attractive.
Top thousand?
Wow, you're just being stupid now.
Right?
Idiot.
What happened to love?
Right. See? This is what happens first. You find out that Kate and Nick are a manufactured couple for social media attention. Mm-hmm. And then Bean, the most romantic of us all.
That's true. Can't, he's lost hope.
He's lost feelings for Kate Hudson.
Right.
You're a murderer of love. That's what we're saying. You're a murderer of love.
Right. Yeah. She's taking that with kind of hard.
These are dark times. Now, this is something I'm very excited about. I'd be fascinated to watch this film start to finish. Showtime has gotten permission from John Belushi's widow to make a full-length feature film documentary on the life of John Belushi.
Yes, please.
I fear that sometimes, with the passing of time, we lose sight of what an impact Belushi had on the world of comedy, and I would like a film to celebrate him.
We're talking about Jim Belushi, the good Belushi, right?
No, this would be John.
Oh, John.
John,
oh.
You know him, Animal House, Blues Brothers, SNL.
Well, that would be all right. That'd be interesting, too, I guess.
Yeah. These are from the same guys who did another documentary. I know, Kevin, you're not big into documentaries, but I think even you would find this one interesting.
It depends. I'm in music.
It's called Listen to Me, Marlon. It's about the life story of Marlon Brando.
Well, he was straight crazy.
Yes,
so,
but
yes,
fascinatingly, this documentary was done completely made up of audio recordings Brando made about his own life. He would just recite into a tape recorder tales of his own life.
I think I would watch that.
They took that audio and they put it into a narrative and they made him narrate his own life story, basically, with video clips and pictures. It was a great documentary. And so the same people behind that are going to be producing this as well. So that'll be on Showtime sometime soon. We have that to look forward to. Do I have you?
Yes.
All right.
Absolutely. You know, I
depending
worry
on what else is available.
I worry sometimes. So.
It's not on Netflix. I probably won't see it.
I just gave up my networks.
I gave up Showtime. Perhaps I acted too rashly.
I worry sometimes, as you do, Ralph, that people will just forget the greats. You know what I mean? Like there's some artists that...
So you're restating what I just said.
There's some artists...
Like Bean does.
That are never going to go away.
Let's further explain this. Right. Something never. That everybody understood the first time. Go ahead.
No,
what
you
is this new trend you have of just saying what we say back to
it's
us?
It's been a couple months.
It has been.
Like,
it's been an ongoing theme.
I think he's not listening, but then he thinks he's coming up with the idea.
A new idea?
You know what my fear is, Ralph? That with the passing of time, people may forget the impact John Belushi had on comedy.
In about a minute, we're going to get what happened to love.
Did you hear about Kate Hudson and Nick Jonas?
That's exactly my point.
Do you think that's actual contribution to a conversation?
He just losing it. He's straight losing it. This is fun. All right, I'm going to stand down for now, I think. lay down.
Misunderstood your level of interest. Sorry.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthday is Tommy Chong, 78 years old today. Alfred Molina is 63, one of my favorite actors. John C. Reilly, another great, is 51. Rapper G-Eazy, he's 27 years old. And singer Bob Dylan, the legendary Bob Dylan, great singer-songwriter, of course.
Great songwriter.
Of protest songs, of social songs of social change, shaped the way a generation thought about many things like peace and love and war and greed. And now he's singing old songs from the 40s. Oh, Bob. This is from his new album, Fallen Angels, where he sings a bunch of Sinatra songs. We've been playing his clips all morning. This is something called That Old Black Magic by Bob Dylan.
It has been loving the spin I'm in under that old black magic called love.
Nope.
It has been loving the spin I'm in under that old black magic called love.
He is less whiny, though, when he's doing these jazzy kind of songs.
He is, that's true. He's trying to make it more melodic.
Yeah.
But do we need it?
No.
Yeah.
No is the answer.
Am I allowed to?
It depends. Are you going to just repeat what we said?
I think he's more melodic, though, when he sings new songs.
If you have something new to add, sure.
Now, here's just what I want to say, is Bob Dylan has limited years left, as we all do. And
right.
I know it's not for us, the fan, to direct where his artistic vision is.
It is for us, the fan, to not buy it, though.
Right. But I feel like he would be doing the world a favor by spending that time writing more great Bob Dylan songs rather than giving us the 500th version of It Had to Be You that nobody needs.
The thing is, we live now in a time where there's no social unrest. There's no social injustice. Everyone's getting along. There's
that's a good point.
No political upheaval. There's no environmental issues that need to be addressed.
Certainly no political issues.
Nothing. Yeah. What could he possibly write about? What is there for Bob Dylan to write about? We're good.
We have solved the world's problems. I guess you're right.
He's got to sing about that old black magic.
That's right.
Okay. I feel better. Thank you.
There's a bunch of black people saying, really? You're singing about the black magic? How about the black lives? How about those? Black magic matters. Hashtag. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness, and we all win with a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour here on the world-famous K-Rock. Very excited about that. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show, we've got your tickets for the Life is Beautiful Festival in Las Vegas. We have a brand-new Internet Roundup, and we have Bill Hader from Angry Birds tomorrow morning.